How's it going, everybody?
Welcome to episode 38 of the House Hacks Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Matthews.
And I'm your co-host, Keith Hicks.
And I want to introduce
our new co-host.
Our new co-host. Mr. 300 himself. Oh, Tom Rutledge.
He's in the club.
He's
now.
Got the club. He's in the club.
Congrats, Tom.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
How'd that feel?
It was probably the greatest feeling I've ever had.
Now, I want to ask you, I did ask you this at bowling when I saw that nice 300 that you had. How were you feeling when you were standing up there for your last one?
The last one, I was pretty nervous, so I just went super fast.
Knees shaking.
I picked up the ball, got on my mark, and just went. I had front nine 2 weeks before, and I was way more nervous then, so that helped. But, I mean, that feeling of, like, getting in the league that I wanted on Monday night, yeah. All my friends, you're the only one that wasn't there.
I know. I feel horrible.
Yeah. The whole bowling alley went crazy. I've never, I mean, you could bottle that. Like, I can see why people do heroin. It was like, ridiculous. I can't wait to do it again. I hope I do it again. But it was It was the best feeling ever. Ever since then, I've been bowling really well, too. So I started out this season, probably the worst season I've ever had in the last, like, 12 years of bowling. I was having a really negative attitude. It was starting to wear on my friends. I was being just a terrible person to be around.
You're being a douchebag.
I was a nightmare, golfing and bowling. And I just decided I'm going to be a positive person and be, like, happier and just not let things bother me. And ever since I started doing that, I started bowling great and golfing a lot better. And awesome. Just having a more positive outlook helped a lot.
Well, speaking of positive, awesome people, we have two of my favorite people on this podcast. Finally we have them on together. Jim Costello and Michelle Carter.
Hello.
Welcome, people.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. My first question to you, Jim. Where in the hell did you think it was an awesome idea to get 60 to 80 teams together, and how in the heck did you organize this
thing?
Well,
let's get the number right. It's 96.
Oh,
this
oh my God, it's 96. Holy crap.
Yeah, so it started back probably about 2006, I think, 2007, and we were with another group of people, just a team or two of us, and that was it. And just, you know, we decided to break away because they wanted to go in one direction. We wanted to go in another direction.
Fair enough.
So we started out with four teams, and then we immediately doubled to eight, and then we went to 20, and then somebody said, oh, wouldn't it be fantastic if we had 60 teams and take up the whole squad? And I'm like, that would be ridiculous. And now here we are.
96 teams.
I don't even want to tell you what
two
I reserved
full squads
for next year.
What's it's a whole weekend. It's the weekend.
No. Please tell me what you reserved for next year.
Yeah, so we have 132.
Oh, my God, Jim!
That I reserved. I don't know if it's going to happen, but if we get the people that say they want to come with us, it's going to happen.
That is a huge break.
How do you do it, though?
Well, I mean, I have everybody's information already, and everybody is pretty good about responding back to me, read the emails.
Hey, I look at your
respond
emails.
Respond to the emails if necessary.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I'm bad about that. Sorry.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I want to point out when Jim sent the email about filling out the card that I responded
the
to.
The green
right
sheets.
Away,
that's
done.
Right, those green sheets.
Oh, my God. Your dad would so not let up on me about that every week.
Because he needed it, dude.
I mean, I heard you can fill it out there.
You used to be able to do that. Is just complete it there. It was an actual color green sheet that you filled that you completed. And that's how the green sheet came about. But now they've gone online. So everything is online. So they want it done, especially with such a large group. They don't want all these people bombarding them at the tournament office. So they work with me. They've been working with me for the last 2 months to get all this together. So all those emails that I'm sending out saying, green sheet, da-da-da, green sheet, da-da-da, green sheet reminders.
Yeah, I'm just a notorious procrastinator.
Yeah. No, they do that for a reason. So, I mean, it is a waiver that you have to sign. And they want to verify that your average is correct. Because you know, you want to bowl correctly. You want to have your right average when you're there, and that's why they do it. So now we do it online, so you don't have to complete it there and go, did I win money? Where was it? Where did I win? What's my average? Where do I find my Open Championship average? How do I know if it's adjusted? Because it's all there on bowl.com.
And see, this is so perfect because as of right now, you know, 5 days from now, we're all going to be at National. So, I mean, this is such a perfect time to do this. Another question is, You run SDIT as well. You organize the heck out of that too.
There's a team of us, yes.
Okay, so. But what made you want to start, say, hey, I want to take the lead on this and just put organize all this stuff together?
Mostly it was just a leadership thing. There were just, you know, I just kind of felt like it was going in a different direction. And then when my opportunity came to take it on, I wanted to see what I could do and try to bring it back. At one point, SDIT ran two squads at two or three houses,
Yes, they did. It was very large.
Back in the days of Aztec Bowl.
In the early,
What is
SDIT, San Diego Invitational Tournament.
So it's part of IGBO, the International Gay Bowling Organization. That we have tournaments all across the country.
Okay. Palm Springs, everywhere. My God.
And San Diego was always one of the premier ones because everybody wanted to come here.
Yeah.
And we, I want to say we bowled it at Sunset Bowl and Aztec Bowl for many years.
And the Grove.
And the Grove.
And Mira Mesa.
And Mira Mesa Lanes, Kearney Mesa. So it did run the gambit of centers.
Do you know the majority of the people in your group of that you're taking to nationals? Do you know most of the people in each on each team, or at least one person
individually? Do I know them personally? I would say at least one to two people average on each team.
Jim knows everybody.
I know who they are, and I've met them, and I make
sure. So you have actually talked to lot of people.
Mostly all of them, yes. Yeah, they probably more know who I am than I know who they are.
Yes.
The one time I bowled the Palm Springs tournament, the IGBO tournament, I was rooming with Jason and Jim, and we drove up, and we get to our hotel room, and we walk in, and I say, this is bullshit, and Jason and Jim kind of look at me like, what? And I go, and there's two queen beds. I go, I thought we were sharing all one king, and I thought Jason was going to lose his shit. That was funny, man.
The tournaments are all a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh, they're a blast.
You know, meeting people, doing something fun together.
Yeah.
Which one's the wildest? Palm Springs?
The wildest? How would you describe
wildest? Like, just like everyone.
I can tell you there were a couple of SDITs that I bowled that were very wild. Like,
We're not all wearing our underwear to bowl.
No, nice.
I don't mean that.
I love it. I love it.
No, more like which one do people let loose the most? Like, get drunkest and like party the hardest? Or are they all the same?
The one tournament I bowled at Palm Springs, there were
Palm Springs is pretty wild, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. I
don't know.
I don't mean like
I mean, I don't the tournaments that I've been to, I wouldn't say that
they're wild.
Yeah, that it's, you know, rip roaring wild and people get drunk.
Well, like someone was telling me, like, people are walking around like with like shots on every single lane, like the
SDIT, that happens at all of them.
Right. Okay, so I've never been to one of them. I was just curious. I've heard they get pretty wild.
You should do it because SDIT it's a lot is so of much fun.
Well, it's tournament. So what they do, so a lot of the IGBO tournaments, again, right, so International Gay Bowling Organization, it's all throughout the U.S. Almost every major city has a gay bowling league or a tournament. And so what they do when they have the tournaments is they do fundraising events. So this is a lot of what it is, and the fundraising goes back to the community. Maybe it's the Gay and Lesbian Center, or maybe it's Mama's Kitchen, who provide meals to, you know, here in San Diego, you know, to people that can't get out of their home because they're ill. And it's not just gay people. It's also, you know, everybody. Not just for one
group. Right, it's not inclusive.
It's not. Well, that's not good. Exclusive. Right?
Yeah.
It's, we're more inclusive.
Yeah.
So
it's not exclusive.
Right.
Yeah.
So in Palm Springs, for instance, there's an organization called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. So they dress up in nun gear, and then they all have their own sister names. This is an organization that they come in and they sell 50-50 tickets. And whatever they raise, they get half of whatever they raise for that. So everybody knows who they are. So instead of maybe spending $20, now they're going to spend $40 because they know the organization and what they do and what they stand for.
Gotcha.
You know, as here, there's I'm not going to remember it. The court. Oh my gosh.
It's okay.
Yeah, sorry.
It's all good.
It's Alzheimer's.
You're going to have to edit a lot of data.
Yeah, don't worry.
Jesus.
Me and my pause edits, they're fun.
Okay. I can't think of it. It'll come to me later.
How long has IGBO been around?
gosh, it has to be almost 40 years.
Really?
I remember a while back.
I bowled him way back in the 90s. They had it used to have a big one up at in Orange County. Was called the Bud Classic. It used to be called the Spring Fling, mm-hmm. which is now moved kind of to Lake Forest. But
yeah.
I've bowled them for many, many years.
Those are such fun turns.
Has bowling always been pretty big in the gay community?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sports in general has been is a big part.
Yeah.
Team. It's all about team.
I know a lot of the guys play softball, too.
Softball.
And Grady Mitchell and you know, all those guys.
I played kickball in a league once. And there was a few teams that were gay, I guess, gay teams. I don't know what you call it. But.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the best things about living in San Diego is we have a fantastic weather. And there's sporting event lots that's happening every day, every weekend. You know, anywhere from bowling to kickball to mm-hmm. golf to swimming to running, softball, golf. I mean, they all. There's organizations all throughout that they.
And we personally kick our fall off by bowling the Las Vegas Showgirls,
uh-huh.
which was when we first started doing it, one of the biggest ones because it was in Las Vegas mm-hmm. over Labor Day weekend. We won it several times. We were very fortunate.
Heck yeah.
But you see people from all over. It really is about meeting new people and just having a good time.
Yeah.
There's nothing else about
it. Yeah. I remember 3 years ago when Patrick Shipley was still here, mm-hmm. I was like, hey, let's bowl this weekend. He's like, oh, I can't. I'm bowling Gag Me. I go, what? Gag Me? And I forgot what the tournament was called, but it was Gag Me. I'm going to go, that is hilarious. That is hilarious.
Yeah. So all of the tournaments have
the kind of like names like that.
Acronym.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So and some of them are funny.
Yes.
And I think that one is Missouri, if I'm not.
Yeah, I think so.
Greater something.
But I was dying laughing. Well, dude, that is perfect. I love that. It's so good. Now, something different from the last time you were here on this podcast. You are part of I Am Bowling now.
I am,
which is awesome.
It's very awesome. I went and bowled my world. I call it my World Series of bowling, mm-hmm. which is all the senior lady stuff. And again, you know, bowled very well.
Yes, you did.
And I was approached by Brian Cooper, who is, I think he's the GM. He's someone very high up in I Am Bowling,
mm-hmm.
and he asked me if I would be interested in representing them. He felt that I was a good fit for them.
Absolutely.
And so I thought about it. It took me a little bit because, as you know, I really have had my heart broken many times with sponsorship stuff. So I thought about it. I actually talked to Jim about it. It's true.
Your bowling husband.
I run a lot. Yeah. I do. I mean, it made sense for me to sign on with them. Yeah. And I love the product. I love they're made in the USA. They're made in Las Vegas.
Oh, sweet.
And they are great jerseys. And I promote it because it's something I believe in. And
what's your promo code? I'm just kidding.
My promo code is, actually, I will give it out.
Yeah. Because,
so my promo code is MCarter300.
Nice.
And you get 20% off everything you purchase.
Doggy.
So, and of course, some does get kicked back to me, obviously.
Absolutely.
I have a lot of people that for nationals have used the code. So,
that's awesome.
But the kickback is not cash.
No, it's not. It's kickback in merchandise.
Absolutely.
You know, which for me
is people are clear.
Right. Yeah. I don't make any money off this. No endorsements.
But we are paying her for the podcast. Just come back.
Some eggs are good.
Yes.
They make the jerseys only?
They actually do jerseys. They do outerwear.
Mm-hmm.
They do t-shirts.
Oh, okay.
If you notice, I don't know if probably people don't notice except the people that I'm with all the time, but whenever I'm bowling,
you're
I'm
always
wearing
oh, yeah.
their stuff. I
yeah,
promote I've their stuff that, only yeah. Because I feel that's what you should do.
Absolutely.
That's important to me. It's important to their, you know, because they were Logo Infusion.
Yeah.
They still are Logo Infusion, but I Am Bowling is its own entity as far as that goes now.
Yeah.
So
it's really cool. And also, if you have a specific ball brand that you wear, they do have all the ball brands.
You can get anything on it. You can, right now there, you can get, let's say you wanted to have House Hacks shirts made.
Uh-huh.
We reach out to Brian Cooper. You take whatever logos, whatever you want, because they are sublimated.
Yeah.
They're all sublimated jerseys, and you can have all that done. So. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I'm going to be showcasing a whole bunch of new jerseys for all my stuff. And, it's a good thing. It's a win-win.
Couldn't think of anybody better.
So you said you had your heart broken a few times with sponsorship? Yeah. Have you ever been on staff on a for no. a ball company? No.
No.
She should be, though.
You know what? I feel like, you know, Jim knows he's heard all the heartbreak about it and seen it. And, you know, we'll probably never know the real reasons. But for me, I think it's probably my career, I guess if I want to call it that, has probably been better off that I wasn't tied to anyone. Right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think that's probably...
I think so, yeah.
You know, last time I was here, I was talking about that I am a brand bitch to storm. but I've recently branched out and am throwing Motive equipment at the moment. Not all. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to give up my storm
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, the stuff rolls really good for you.
Absolutely. But, you know, I found a couple of things I wanted to try differently. And I drilled up a Motive... Primal Shock was the first one. It was brand new ball that came out. First three series, I shot 700 with it.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, this ball rolls really well. It doesn't take place of anything. It gives me something else.
Yeah.
And so now I'm drilling up a Jackal Ghost that I will take with me on this trip. And
because if you were on staff with someone, you wouldn't be able to try out.
No, I would not. Yeah. So absolutely.
And you know what, Michelle? I think you could bowl good with anything. It
Thank
doesn't
you.
Matter.
Absolutely.
No, I wonder who the winner of the Queen's tournament was.
That's right.
Well, I will tell you this. It was the oldest entrant there.
Yes. And whooped up on everybody.
I will tell you that much.
What did you average?
Like over 230.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She bowled phenomenal all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a funny story with that. Jim was actually not there, which, to be honest, is one of the, again, very rare that Jim, if he's not bowling, he's there.
That's right.
Me. Jim was not there. I was texting him, though, but he had a prior commitment, I think, at that day. And I kind of decided to bowl really kind of at the last minute, kind of, sort of, said, I'll just
I hope I convinced
in.
You a little bit.
You did.
I hope
and
I did.
I walked in, and Kayla Ursula also, she was like, come on, Michelle. I said, yeah, maybe I'll just donate my money.
Oh, please.
And came in, and one of the entrants of the event, we had just finished shadow. And she screamed to me across two pair, Michelle, how old are you again?
Wow.
And I said, well, I'm not afraid to tell y'all I'm 57 years old. She's like, you're the oldest one bowling. And that's
Jeez.
All it took.
Was she being rude? Or
you know, probably not. But it was just a very interesting comment to have.
Exactly. I don't think I would have said that.
I didn't. That's I don't wild. Mind my age, guys. I, you know, honestly, I think I'm better now than I was when I was
30.
Well,
here's a great story for you. So Andre Eubanks, he runs the tournament up in L.A.
That guy can bowl.
That guy can bowl.
Yeah, the Princess and the Queens. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So we went up. Michelle's like, yeah, let's go. So we all traveled up there. And I'm, you know, Jason, myself, Anna, the whole group, we all went to support Michelle. And she originally didn't make the cut. She missed it by two.
Two pins.
Like, oh, wow. So, and she was the backup.
The alternate? Bowler,
like the second alternate.
A second alternate?
Second alternate.
Oh, wow.
And so we were already packing up the car, and I go in to listen, and Andre's like, well, so-and-so already went home, and they already went home, and is Michelle Carter on? I'm like, yes, she is. She's here. Hold on.
Oh, no way.
Tell her to get in here.
I was
Tell
actually
going to
gonna, I was gonna change my clothes.
Yeah. Wow. We'd already started drinking.
Seriously, we already
Michelle
had...
Michelle does not drink while she bowls any tournaments, but once she's done and we think she's done... We get a drink because now we got to calm down.
She's like, okay, bitches, I'm back. She brings down her drink to the lanes.
She already had like one drink halfway done. And I'm like, Michelle, you're in. Get in there. What? What? She runs down into the room. And now I've got to go back out to the car, get the balls, bring them back in. And she's, you know, get her on the lane, get her ready to go.
Oh, wow.
She wins.
And you won.
Jesus.
I won.
So what? Okay, so you were the second alternate. Yeah. Okay, so the first alternate wasn't there. Right.
And the second one went home.
Yeah. No, you were the second.
Oh no,
one.
I was the second.
Okay.
One. So the first alternate. So.
So the first one
so
didn't
the first
think
one,
they were going to get a bowl. She
just said,
people had left.
So
yeah,
they just
left
after. It was
no
a very tough condition.
Way.
We bowled on. Yeah. Was very tough. Yeah.
What kind of shot was
cow
it?
Bowl.
It was.
Oh, good
it
old
was,
cow.
I forget the pattern that we had, but it was a very tough pattern. I don't remember. It was
you won the senior.
I won the senior
queens, and then
Stephanie Zavala.
Zavala won.
Stephanie's
no,
so
I will
she
tell
won
you.
The
she won the regular queens, and then they had a princess.
Princess. So
and
then
another lady.
So then the three of them bowl.
I almost won that part.
Yeah. So it was one game or two games.
We bowled one game.
One game, and the winner wins the overall.
You get, so what it is, so I won the senior queens. Uh-huh. I ran the table. Mm-hmm. You had to bowl match play. I ran the table. And it was a long day.
She bowled against this one lady. She had 60 pins.
You know, they gave handicap. The senior queens handicap in the senior queens. Well, I have zero.
Oh, no.
I have zero.
And this woman, she just kind of tossed the ball. And it just kind of slid. Pins is a lot. And
that's
I'm
a
down
ton.
60 in frame one, right? Yeah, I'm down 60 in frame one.
So, she shoots 200, you got to go huge.
I forget what I bowled. I think I bowled a good game.
Yeah, you did roll a good game, but you didn't catch up to her until the eighth
frame. The eighth frame, you know.
Oh, my God.
Because,
and we're all back there going, oh, my God.
You know, I went into that tournament as well with very little expectation because, you know, we were still just coming out of COVID. And I hadn't, you know, I had... I had some injuries that were still hindering me. And so I kind of went up. I said, let's just go. I just need to bowl something.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to actually cross with Stephanie Zavala, who...
She's so good.
She is... Not only is she good, but she is a great ambassador to women's bowling. Mm-hmm. She was very nice. Her and her boyfriend, I guess, own a pro shop somewhere up in L.A. I kept pace with her the whole event. And at the end, her boyfriend came up to me and said... I can't believe you've never bowled out on tour. And I thought that was probably one of the biggest compliments I'd ever heard. I said, oh, heck no, are you crazy? I said, I'm old, look at me, But
Stephanie is a competitor, but she was very friendly.
Very friendly.
Yeah. You know, and we talked to her a lot, and she was...
Very encouraging.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which
is nice. It's very refreshing.
Oh, totally it is.
Sometimes, you know, I don't want to badmouth anybody. I don't know all the people, but sometimes they just... You know, they're just kind of like, you know, nose up and they don't just,
We have that locally. It doesn't have to go all the way to the national level.
I've seen that at tournaments. I was at a tournament with Tim and he was bowling in. The guy, you said Eubanks, right?
Yeah, Andre.
So you have a brother, Jason?
Jason Eubanks.
Yes, he was bowling with Jason. And I don't think he said a word to Tim until like the second or third game when he started realizing like he could bowl, and then they started talking more and more. Right. I noticed like bowlers won't really talk much unless they like,
you know, that's it's
like people are in their zone, you know, and they're kind of like they're there to do their
thing.
It is more
prevalent than you think. The people that roll in sometimes with a 4 and 6 ball bag aren't necessarily the best bowler
in the house,
but they think they are. And then when they finally come up against somebody who is a good bowler, then all of a sudden they kind of get knocked down a notch and go,
And I'm not saying that he was like acting like he was better than anyone else. I noticed he was like in his zone. But then when people see other people start striking, they kind of like loosen up.
I think
and talk
too,
to people
you know, you're feeling people out. You know, you've all bowled tournaments where you're like paired with people that you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, we're all good in our own way. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a PBA or PWBA bowler, you know, Hall of Fame or whatever. We're all still throwing a ball down a lane.
Absolutely.
So, but I do think, you know, a lot of egos get involved in as they do in every sport.
Mm-hmm.
I think bowling is no exception. You know, that's why I love the Golden Ladies event so much, because I feel like that event they're so ego free, don't you think, Jim?
They are.
I mean, I think it's more about the camaraderie of it. Now, I go there wanting to win every
single absolutely.
Year.
Well, he doesn't want to. So, I mean, you have to go with the attitude,
you know,
that you're going to win, not just that you're going there to bowl.
Right.
But
you do have women that probably, I mean, we have women in their super senior pluses, which means they're over 70 years old.
Wow.
And they're still competing.
That's great.
So to me, that's an amazing thing. We have, the event is right after nationals. And there's already, the max is 130, and I think they're in the 120s of science.
That's so good to see.
And they come from Australia.
Yeah, they're all over the world this time.
Yeah.
First time since COVID.
It's amazing.
Australia.
The Australian women are really fun, and they come over for about 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah.
They bowl at the tournaments, and they come in and just enjoy.
Make a vacation of
it.
They
do,
really.
Actually.
Yeah.
They do. I mean, last year, you know, it was a smaller field. I can hang my hat on the fact that I am the only woman who's had multiple 300s because I started 300 again last year. Not against Tish, unfortunately for me, but during qualifying, the first game out and the second second day, I shot 300. And, you know, everybody was like, knew all these stats before I did.
I was getting updates from Jason. Okay, I was. You know, he's texting me. I was like,
I shot 300 again and ended up, you know, Ryan Goodwine, he was actually my statistician.
I love Ryan.
Jim, unfortunately, Jim was not at this event for the very first
time. How dare you, sir?
Well, tell them why. Right,
because we went to bowl the Telco tournament, yeah. And lifting all 20 balls in and out of the car just did a number on my back.
Oh, so no.
3-4, yeah. I blew my back out. So I was down for the count. So I had surgery back June 4th of last year.
So how's the recovery going?
Recovery's great.
Are you bowling yet?
I am.
Just started back. Yay! Yeah.
You had a foot surgery too, didn't you?
That was a year before.
I had 2 foot surgeries.
Oh my God, man.
2017, 2019.
What happened? You drop a bowling ball on your foot?
No, just arthritis. Yeah.
He played softball.
I'm 57.
We're the same age.
I'm old.
He played sports. Softball.
Yeah, I played softball. I played volleyball in the park, rolled my ankle so many times. I rolled it running across a roundabout in London back in, the early 2000s or something. Yeah. So, just doing things.
How much have you been back bowling right now?
Just on Wednesday, so it's been about two and a half months.
Oh,
good.
Now, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So you are going to bowl nationals?
Yes.
I'm bowling.
Oh,
sweet.
Heck yeah. He's back in form now.
Love it.
Who's subbing for you?
Terry Sassoni is bowling for him on Mondays this season.
On Mondays.
Yes.
Yeah, he destroyed. I think I shot 250 against him and he beat me.
Terry's a player, man.
I'll tell you,
he
a
really
lot of
is.
People, it's funny. A lot of people think he's this guy? They think he's a crotchety old guy, but Terry is a fantastic person. Mm-hmm. He's wonderful.
He's a good bowler, too.
He's an awesome
bowler.
I've
known him since I was like a teenager.
He's one of my favorite people in the whole world. And, mm-hmm. Actually, Jason has adopted him as his pops.
I love it.
And we love him a lot. He does a lot for me personally as well. You know, he is my bowling ball guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that I kind of tried out the motive stuff was because of him.
Yeah.
But the year, last year at Golden Ladies, it was tough because I didn't have Jim. Kelly Morrow was with me the whole way, obviously.
Good old Kelly.
So Ryan Goodwin was doing all of the stats. And we started match play. I struggled the first 5 games, and then I won 10 in a row. I wasn't paying attention to where that took me. Mm-hmm. I almost shot 800 in the middle. I think I shot 780 or 790 in the middle of that set, mm-hmm. in the middle of all the match play. My goal is always just knock down as many pins as you can.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay.
Good goal.
Tournaments, are the shots usually pretty tough?
That shot, it starts out, when you're qualifying, it's a modified house shot because you have 75-year-old women bowling.
Oh, gotcha.
But trust me, it breaks down. It gets tough.
Yeah.
The corners are hard to carry Orleans. Oh, we bowled that one at the Orleans. Right. Corner pins are hard to get out.
The Gold Coast is a little bit of a
harder
shot.
Gold Coast, in general. Mm-hmm. But, the next thing I know, all I want to do, all my goal ever is to just make the step ladder, because you never know what can happen.
Yeah.
And I qualified second, and I had to bowl against someone that I adore. Her name is Regina Abood. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys
have heard of her.
Yeah. She's from Northern Cal. Mm-hmm. She's an amazing bowler.
She was on fire. Yeah.
And so they were streaming it, and I guess there was Team Regina and Team Michelle.
Oh, gosh.
So from what I understand from Leanne Holsenberg, actually, she was awesome. She said, do you know that your match with Regina was off the charts?
That's
because
so cool.
Everybody who knows me and knows her, we are friends off the lanes. We're competitors on the lanes, obviously, and, she got me, and I looked at her, and as I hugged her when we finished, I said, there's always next year, right?
Oh, yeah.
So... but I finished third, and so I was really happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
But not with Jim there, which is tough.
Yeah, this year.
I have my crew coming back this year. Nice, and then I'll bowl the senior queens too. So
do you bowl at a regionals at all?
I don't. They don't really have any down here. How could you compete with Avery? By the way, she's already won two.
Yeah,
She's 15 years old. She's a superstar.
Yeah,
no, because the regional program. If I was thinking I was going to go out on tour, maybe, but it just doesn't interest me, to be honest.
No.
Yeah. Is Jim Narrell bowling in our group this year?
Who?
I'm sorry, John Narrell.
John Narrell.
He's on Brunswick staff.
Oh,
yes, and
okay.
he does a lot of the regionals in Virginia.
Okay,
on the East Coast.
Darn it, man! Let's hope to see him this weekend.
Yeah.
He's such a good dude. I like
not,
him.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you're doing. I know you, Steve. I shouldn't just point at you because we are on you. I know you've kind of changed all of your stuff since I was here. Now you're throwing Brunswick equipment.
Yes.
I know you kind of working with Mike Principato.
Uh-huh.
If that's who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Are you signed with them, or you're just throwing their stuff?
I'm just throwing their stuff. Maybe one day down the road.
Yeah.
Hoping. But for me, this is the most comfortable I've felt in my game. I can't remember the last time.
Yeah.
I know every single piece of equipment, what it's doing, pin down, pin up, surface wise. I just feel really good. Just feel really good.
Keith hasn't gone over to that side, I don't think.
He has a couple of hammer balls.
I have. I'm bowling with the Scorpion Sting and the regular Scorpion. I do have my spare ball, which is a pitch black. And then I have my go-to ball, which is the IQ Solid.
Yeah.
I did drill my first Radical ball last week, though. And that's the Rattler. Because Principato did a demo a couple weeks ago. Right. And I was throwing that Rattler. I went, oh my goodness. Right. I am going to get one of these.
I actually ran into Tom yesterday up at Bill's shop, and he had one of those balls.
Yeah.
I'm drilling up a Brunswick knockout.
Tom and I are bruiser. Reading on the sly at Bill's, but.
drilling up a bruiser for Nationals.
Yeah.
So.
Tom, they could be, you, I think you like time that for ball. A new ball.
Well, what ball did you shoot 300 with?
The Dark Code.
The Dark Code. That, those were really good balls, too.
I will have another one. I love that ball. It rolls really well for me, and. I like the solid colored stuff. Yeah. Seems to roll good.
Dad got that purple reactive hammer. He was throwing that last night. He likes it. That old man. He loved him to death, but he's stubborn. Okay.
Funny moment last night.
So he's throwing it. He's crushing with that ball in shadow practice. And then when my dad gets a new ball, he gets that new ball syndrome to where he likes to hook the whole lane, just throw it out there. And I go, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? So then it's overreacting. So then he switches balls. And I go, and I notice this like a couple, three frames go by. And I go, no. I take the hammer out of his bag. He's coming back off the approach. I go, you are throwing this ball. I put it on the rack. and then he goes, okay. And I go, dude, 12 to 8. Stay firm. Don't baby it. He shoots 266.
Nice.
And I go, and he comes back, goes, see, I listen to you every now and then, and I just kind of just walk away, and I go, Dad, okay, yeah,
sometimes you got to listen to people.
Fair enough.
Well, I think, you know, we all get in our own heads, right? Bowling is so mental. I mean, come on, let's think about
you
it.
You don't even know.
Right?
I'm the biggest mental case of anyone.
Come on, man.
I was so bad that I would, like, throw a bad shot, and I would think about it for the rest of the game.
You got to let it go.
And so,
you have to, man.
Ever since I started just
I'm trying to learn that, too. I've been trying to be positive with stuff. You can cuss. You can say anything you want.
Oh, this is open forum, baby.
Anything.
Okay.
But yeah,
no filter on a podcast.
Yeah, so we have a mantra when we start bowling bad. It's LTFF. Let the fucker fly.
It's LTFF.
Oh, yeah.
LTFF. Let the fucker fly. Because, you know, you just get into that point where you're just like, I've done everything that I think I could possibly do, and it's not working. And you just go, reset, whoosh.
Yeah.
That's good.
See what happens. And then all of a sudden, something happens. But I have a different way of resetting Michelle.
Oh. Pitch your butt?
Let's do it.
No.
Yes, let's go.
Come on, Jim.
Let's go. I want to know.
Look at my
Come on, Jim.
Come on.
Tell them that story. That
yeah. Yeah, which one?
There's so many I know there is.
Let's just put it this way. Jim and I have been together a long time.
We were in Vegas. Michelle was definitely not having it. She was everywhere. And when Michelle's not in the game or with us, she's staring down at the lane in the first seat and just looking down the lane, staring. And because she's figuring it out, you could just see it all, the cogs, the wheels, the smoke. All of it, right? And you go, Michelle, oh, what? Huh? Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, you've already tried to say, move. And she's like, yeah. So I just came up behind her and gave her a good old hug.
Oh, yes.
And just
those hugs are awesome.
Yeah.
Those are
they're special hugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite hugs.
No random stranger hugs like
No one is allowed to go there except for my actual real husband. My bowling
It was
husband
just a good hug.
Absolutely.
Good hug.
And then
I struck after
And
that.
Then yeah, and then all of a sudden it was Oh my god.
I
it totally reset.
I do have
her,
some modesty,
and then,
not a lot.
And it was like it all went away, and she knew what she was doing and bowled out of her mind the rest of the. So that's now. That's so I go. Do I need to reset you?
That's what he'll say to me.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's awesome.
The reset switch. That is outstanding, dude. Funny.
But no one else is allowed to do that. Steve Smith tried once. That didn't work out. Like, you do not go above the line, and your line is all the way down at the bottom of my shirt, okay?
Speaking of tournaments, Finger Gumball City Tournament?
We are. We actually have our team.
Excellent.
It'll be my team we bowl with on Wednesdays in the High Rollers.
Cool.
We bowled last year and came in third, I think. So yeah. It's just for fun.
Yeah.
Honestly, to compete, just to support the younger generation mm-hmm. that's helping run San Diego Bowling.
Thank you very much.
Which is another reason why I bowled the Queens event was for you guys, not mm-hmm. for any of the rest of it.
We appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Is it a shot or is it house?
Usually
it's a modified.
It's just modified house.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It's either like a foot longer or a foot shorter, a variation of volume of oil. It's,
it's from 38 to 41 feet.
Yeah.
This is Sophie's first city tournament.
Yeah,
That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I try to think how many city tournaments I've probably bowled. I don't know, probably 50. I mean, I've bowled since I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And we bowled a lot together, too. Mm-hmm. We bowled a lot of state tournaments together.
We did.
We traveled a lot. You guys would come with us, too.
Yeah.
We've done, a lot of bowling over the last 15 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm. So you guys all have, like, multiple 300s, obviously. Do you guys all still have the first ball you shot your 300 with?
Somebody stole mine. Mine got stolen.
Oh, no.
I think... My first.
You have so many. You probably don't even remember your first one.
You'd have to have a whole garage.
Are you kidding? You could sit here for hours and he could tell you every ball, one to 12.
I could. I really could. Like
of all 300.
I think I really could though. But the first ball was the original Danger Zone.
Do you still have it?
No. I think
what
it's
was the ball that yours.
It was cracked probably, like 2 weeks later after I shot that 300.
Tim told me that he had multiples of his and he gave it away thinking it was a different one.
Oh, no.
And it ended up being like the one. I think that's what he told me. It was either 800 or 300.
The one ball that I will never get rid of, the one that I shot 300 to beat Tish, was the lock, the mm-hmm. Storm lock ball. And after I left that tournament, I never threw it again. And
no?
No, it's in my spare room.
Did it crack?
No, it did not.
Oh, wow.
It did not. Awesome. I had other balls crack, but not that one.
Maybe we should get it.
Dip it in bronze and autograph it. Yeah,
you know, but
etched with the gear something.
You know, for me, what stands out for
me. I'm sure they make a little case.
Jim's first 300 was shot at Kearney Mesa Bowl.
Yeah.
On the trios.
We were bowling the trios.
The 2009?
I don't know. You guys never bowled that, but we used to bowl Wednesday nights at 9
o'clock. I bowled the trios.
And
I did. That was a fun league.
And, you know, Jim had been close many times.
Many times.
And just couldn't get over the hump. And that night, he was just bowling great.
Mm-hmm.
And when he threw the 12th one, first of all, I think it went at least 40 miles an hour.
He just rocketed to the pocket, baby.
I think it just hovered, like, above the lane as it hit the pins and, you know, he threw a strike.
Where did you feel the nerves? Your hands, your legs, your chest?
Yeah, all of it.
Everywhere?
Oh, yeah.
All of it. Yeah. Yeah, you just black out.
I was so bad that...
I thought Tom was about to puke on the approach after I saw the video.
I was nerves in, like, the 6th or 7th frame, you know, just because...
Jeez!
I was just such a mental case, you know?
I think you can't look at your scoreboard, right?
I try not to, but you kind of... Once you get, like, 8 or so, you know... And
well, I think you start thinking a little bit about it.
But I'm saying, I think the reason I failed so many times before is because I would start thinking of it way too early in the game. And so I would, 6th, 7th frame, I'd be thinking about it, and then I would screw up.
See, there again, it's a mental
thing. I know. No, for sure it is. Yeah. And this time I was just like, everything was working. I'm just going to go fast. And because when I messed up before, Tim's like, go fast. So just don't sit up there and think about it.
I think you should always be nervous. I think it's a big deal. I don't
it still
think,
is.
You know,
absolutely.
I don't
know, everyone says how easy it is. It took me 12 years to get one.
I have two. You probably already looked it up on the
record. Right here.
I have two. And they're about 7 or 8 years apart.
Yeah.
So they're not that close
you had
together.
One. He actually
had one
at a tournament.
Oh, wow.
At Palm Springs.
So you have multiple 300s more than...
I have two. That's all I have.
But you have like... More in tournaments and stuff?
Well, he has one in Palm Springs in the tournament, and he had one in league.
Oh, wow. There's
only two.
In a tournament's pretty awesome, though.
To be honest, I'm not discounting league bowling, but when you shoot 300 in a tournament in a center that you don't ever bowl in.
For sure, yeah, it's way harder.
I think it's a big deal.
I shot 300 with Anna in Mission Hills
through
the Jim Lee.
That's right, you sure did.
Hammer Switchblade. Yes, I still remember that ball.
I mean, yeah, you're right.
I do.
You have 300s outside of league. Do you have tournament 300s too? Would you agree? I think it's better.
Can't hear your head shaking.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I do.
I would say no, it's not, because mine was pretty awesome.
No, yours is very awesome. No, I'm not discounting yours.
I'm just joking.
Fucking Tom, dude. I love it.
Funny enough, when I had the first one at Pretty Mesa, right? Everybody's there. Anna, Michelle, Steve, Mr. Rollins. Yes, you've been named again.
Lyle.
Sharky Ducky.
So as soon as I threw the ball, and you know everybody was waiting and watching, first person came over, jumped on me, Lyle.
Wow. Nice.
He couldn't even get back.
I couldn't even get back.
He literally turned around.
Down the lane, and he's done.
You know, we're all waiting for, you know.
Tom kind of got mobbed too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
Tim texted me and goes, "Tom finally fucking did it," and I went, "What?" Yes.
Yeah. I do think that, not that they get easier. I think you just start to you recollect and go, "Okay, I did it once."
Exactly, that mental thing.
I was saying all the time, I don't think I'm ever going to get it because I'm notoriously bad in the 10th frame, and I always like choke. And I just thought I'm going to choke and. 2 weeks before, I was talking about I'm never going to get one.
And I told him, bullshit. Yeah.
Well, on your last podcast, you actually were talking about the fact that you were never going to shoot.
Yeah.
I said, I promise you would.
It's always the 12th ball. It's the last. If you get all the way through the 10th frame and you get the first two, that 12th ball is the one that you're going to be the most nervous on. I probably blacked out. It's weird for me.
My most nervous one for me is the 11th one.
See, mine's the 10th.
It's like because
number 10.
After you get the 11th one, well, it's at least 290 something, you know?
Well, it could be that 5 or 6 or 7.
Well, I don't know how you guys feel.
I have a 296. 297. I'm a 296 and too. I have 299, 298.
That was my first time ever past the 10th frame.
So you never had even shot like 298. So that was
I've had a 290.
290, which is
And I've had a front 10 like 286, which was terrible.
I did have a 290.
Yes, you had a 290.
I will say this though.
Yes, I was.
I was quite disappointed with your reaction because when you came back, you just kind of went.
I just
like you've done it so many times. Like, dude, I thought he was gonna like just
I couldn't believe it. It just didn't seem real. Like, yeah. I don't know. I kind of blanked out.
I think you're right. I mean, I actually, I had one at Mira Mesa on lanes 3 and 4.
That's a challenge right there.
Earlier that this season,
those low lanes
and
are tough. There,
you know what? I mean, I was pretty nervous. I mean, I think the last one was really a good shot. But I turned around and I mean, again, nobody's bowling.
It's also the league,
they're not all 200
more
average
recreational
bowlers.
So
all
fun,
you know,
we're fun,
they're
social.
Like waiting, you know, and
they'll come up to you like on the eighth frame and they'll go, "Have you ever rolled a 300 before?"
How many have you had?
If you watch,
you know, it's kind of like in baseball, you know, the unspoken etiquette. Yeah. You don't say anything.
If you ever watch me, like if you watched that video, I don't look. I look down.
Yeah.
And I never looked at people behind me.
Yeah.
I just turned around, looked down,
you didn't either,
grabbed the ball and went. No. And then I never looked at, I knew there was a lot of people back there, but I didn't realize how many.
I think looking up is more nerve-wracking.
I didn't look up.
I think you can't standing behind you. Last Monday night, a couple of pairs to our right, I don't know who it was that had the front 11, and he went 7 count on the, I mean, it wasn't close. And I thought, wow, you get nothing but a good game. You get no awards, you get nothing.
I left a washout on my 11th or my 12th shot before for 296.
Me too. That was mine.
The head pin.
I did the same.
Now, you said you had a great story about the silver nugget or something like that.
Well, that all goes with the national stuff.
Okay. So I got my El Paso story to share after that, too.
So, yeah, you know, that all goes with when we go to nationals. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's always stories.
Hundreds of teams that Jim takes. And
so we should preface it and say that there was a tournament that goes along with the USBC Nationals, the 40 frame game, which is a national tournament as well. And they
yes,
do
this is the 40
and
frame
it's a fun. It's kind of a fun thing. Every frame is you have either add pins or minus pins, you could get money out of it.
Mulligans.
Sour grapes.
Yeah, this was my tournament for nationals where I let loose and just drink.
Yeah, never
I didn't care what I did.
It's definitely a drinking game.
Oh, yes.
They haven't
because
had
it's
it.
40 oh, yes. frames.
Definitely. And I bowled it left-handed the last time we bowled
that's
it.
Right,
that's
you
right,
did.
You had the tendon thing, right?
Yeah.
So the one year we went to Las Vegas, it was at the Silver Nugget, which was North Las Vegas.
I'm going to tell you, it's in the ghetto of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So they had a carnival in the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
This is already going bad.
We go in there, right? So we go in, and then you, all of a sudden, a couple people went to the bar, and they're going, drinks are $5.
I mean, premium liquor drinks were $5.
So, oh, damn. Not,
that sounds like a good time.
So, it was a great
time. So, you know, Jim Fox and his girlfriend, MJ, they walk in with their cups, and they go out there, and the guy, they hand them their cups and say, yeah, we'll have this particular type of gin or whatever it was. And the guy goes, oh, that'll be $12. He goes, each? No, total.
Oh, so, wow.
To say, there was, you know, our group took up the whole, all the lanes. So it's the bowling center, and then there's a little gambling section,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Should tell that Lyle story?
I'm going to.
Hell yeah, you need to.
I'm going to tell the Lyle story because he is expecting to hear his name on the podcast, so he's going to hear his
name. I think Lyle hears his name on every podcast. I think
that fool comes up somewhere sometime. Yeah, love you, baby.
Lyle. First and foremost, Lyle is definitely someone that we do adore him.
Yes.
Lyle's one of the first people I bowled with when I moved here to San Diego back in 93.
Oh, wow.
Really?
All the way back at Frontier, yeah.
Frontier.
Yeah. Frontier,
that's where your dad used to work, right?
He used to be night manager there when I was like 3 or 4 years old.
Lyle, this is funny. You'll love this.
So Lyle, you know, everybody, I never bowl the 40-frame game just because I rather watch everybody and drink. Because I can't bowl and drink. Again, it's not something that I do very well together. And so, you know, I have Anna Blacksmith there. We have Lindsay Bonifacini there. And we're not bowling.
Lindsay Staley.
Lindsay Staley. Sorry, yeah. Lindsay. Not that she's going to listen because she doesn't bowl anymore, but...
She doesn't?
No, she's not bowling anymore
that
right now.
That sucks, man. Well, she was damn good.
Then she needs to listen to the podcast.
She should, right?
She should.
One of the best female bowlers in the city.
She threw it so good.
Well. But anyway, so us girls are not drinking, are not bowling. All the guys are bowling. We're drinking. We're drinking. getting Lindsay drunk was always a fun thing to do.
Uh-huh.
She's very funny. So I go down to the lanes. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be everybody's waitress. I have a little service tray, and
nice.
I'm taking orders. So I go down to Lyle's pair, and I'm like, all right, what's everybody going to have? And Lyle goes, well, I want the blueberry vodka straight up. I'm like, okay. So I'm taking the little notes, and I go back to the bar, and I'm telling the bartender, and he goes, blueberry vodka? He's like, we don't have blueberry vodka here. And I said, well, I have a guy down there drinking. He goes, you mean the sky blue bottle of vodka?
The blueberry.
He was drinking straight up plain vodka that came out of a sky blue bottle.
Oh, my
so
God.
So I get the shots, and I take it back down, and I said, here's your blueberry vodka. And he takes a drink, you know, and he's like, yeah, it's great. I go, it's not even blueberry.
It's straight up, homie.
It's straight up. Sky blue.
Just in the short amount of time we were there, there were some crazy stories. We found out
there was a hooker in the bathroom that I was in there when
what?
I was
what?
Yes.
Oh no! They're selling jewelry
outside of the bathroom on a table.
on the table.
A table, and some lady has handmade jewelry and she's selling it. Then somebody else heard about the boyfriend that was in prison
at the snack bar. At the bar.
Jesus!
At the bar, they're listening, the two ladies are talking about her man getting out of prison.
And she needed to get home.
Right. And we're just like, where are we? Then we found out somebody was shot in the parking lot like the day before.
Yes. It's in the ghetto. Gosh. I mean,
As
many trips as we've made
to
Las Vegas.
And
they were good.
They were good drinks.
Who says you can't get drunk in Vegas?
I'll tell you for cheap.
Trust me. We can get drunk in Vegas really cheap.
Oh, yeah.
The Gold Coast is pretty cheap.
We do it all the time.
We do it all the time. Yeah. Anyway, so then we walk out, and Michelle goes, let's go to the carnival. I'm like, no.
Get in the carnival.
We'll be a teddy bear, damn it.
And at that time,
we're not going to be a statistic.
That's what he said. We're not here to be a statistic. And, you know, it was definitely a part of Vegas that I don't think people even are most normal tourists wouldn't know exists because it was literally way past downtown in the bowels of downtown area.
Oh, so yeah. The 40-frame game basically finds a house or somewhere that they host this tournament, and they do it in conjunction with the national tournament. And it's a fun
dude.
40 frames. Of
they
fun.
Did it the first
buckets
year
of
I went.
Beer. Right. Just
so
coming.
Yeah. So
oh.
So you have to tell your story about
so
El Paso.
So I'm telling about El Paso.
Oh God.
So remember this. 40 framer was in a damn warehouse.
Yes, it was.
I
metal.
Mean, metal. You talk and you're echoing.
Oh, wow.
It was just
bad.
But it was a real bowling center.
But it was a real bowling center, too.
In a warehouse.
In a warehouse.
God, it must have been so loud.
It was pretty loud.
So we're bowling, and we're drinking, and Dad goes, hey, buy a pitcher of beer. I'll pay for it. Okay, cool. Few minutes go by, and my dad is on the approach, ready to bowl. I see this kid with a tray and a pitcher of beer with two glasses go walking past me. He goes up on the approach. On the approach, my dad throws this ball. He turns around. This kid is literally in front of him
on the approach,
wanting to pay for the beer.
We're all just so stunned. We're just standing there.
Dude, it's like happened. Literally, my dad immediately turned around to come back after a shot and was like, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, sir, that'd be, whatever. And my dad's looking around, and we are just dying in the background. And my dad paid for it on the approach, and he walked off. And my dad goes, you had to have told him to go up there and do it. I'm like, no. He walked right past me, and I couldn't say anything because I'm like, am I really going to see this right now? Dude, he walked, paid for it on the approach. See? Everyone around was stunned.
That's wild.
Just stunned.
I thought you were going to say he turned around and like crashed into it.
No.
The pitcher.
No, and the manager saw this off into the distance.
And
he went up to my dad. He goes, I am so sorry. This is his first day, and I will be talking to him. My dad said, no, don't worry about it. It was probably like the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life in a bowling center.
Jeez.
Until now, I was just kind of like, I saw it. I'm like, oh my god! And Keith was like a few feet away doing something. I'll never see it. I look at him. Keith goes, like, what the hell was that?
What the hell's going on here?
If you bowl around us long enough or with our groups long enough, there's always funny things that happen.
Oh yeah.
And that's the best part of the trips.
I hope there's a few this weekend.
We had fun just bowling Telco, and that was a few months ago.
One of these years I will be bowling Telco.
And
I have to bowl
for us.
Yeah, see, we all got tattoos.
Yes, you can't see them. So it was very organic again. Yeah. You know, yes.
We're sitting at breakfast outside. We get usually there's a Dunkin' at the link, and we go sit outside and we watch all the overnight people walking back home.
The Link. Oh, the old Imperial Palace. Uh-huh.
And,
yes.
And they have an open front with a bar that has seats that you can just
watch the morning people heading back. Or
you know, the ones that were out all night and they're carrying their shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
So, that's funny.
So we're all just sitting there. We're all talking. And then somebody's like, well, let's get a drink. So then somebody went and got drinks, and we're still...
It's 9 a.m., guys.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We're drinking coffee, and Jim and I are drinking Jameson and coffee.
Jameson at 9 a.m., dude.
Yeah, we drank at 9 a.m.
It's 5 o'clock.
I know.
Kind of like an Irish coffee. It was very good. You know,
8 hours difference. Yeah, it's 5 o'clock in Ireland.
Right.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Didn't we have an 8 o'clock? At 9 a.m. Anna's drinking gin.
Yeah.
We had an 8 o'clock start 1 year, right? I thought I was drinking then.
Yeah.
I think I was doing it with you.
Yeah, probably. We were pretty drunk.
Yeah.
So we're just organically, we're just chit-chatting, and we came to the conversation of tattoos, and Anna always said that she would only get one where Mickey was, doing Minnie. So we were talking
good
about
God.
It. And we were saying, oh, you're going to put it right here on your breast, right, so you can push them together.
We were just being silly.
And then
one thing led to another. Hey,
that's exactly what happened.
Oh my God.
And we were talking about it, and she goes, well, I probably would get maybe a leopard thing or something. And we're like, let's go.
We literally packed up the table. Right. Nice. I know two places we can go.
Jason has been wanting
Jason
has been wanting one for a very long time, but didn't know what to get. So we just said, look, just get the bear paw or something, right? Just get something simple just to get your first one.
Yeah.
And to try, to see how you like it. And then, so we go into the link towards the back. There's a really nice tattoo parlor. Nice. They were super friendly, really nice. I can't remember the name of it now.
I think it's called Body Art or something.
Something,
like that.
Yeah. So Anna talked to the lady. She drew it out. She has a heart with on her wrist, on her forearm with a leopard on it. And then Jason got the bear paw.
What is the bear paw for?
Bears. Jason
He's
likes
a bear.
Bears.
Oh, gotcha.
Tom, you need an education.
Duh.
I should have known that.
He loves big bear hugs.
Yes, he does.
So he has the bear paw, and then Michelle got the her tattoo is the ladybugs
for my children,
for her kids, and then Heath and Nicole also got one too.
Heath Bell and Nicole Bell were
Man,
Heath is up for anything.
Oh this that dude is.
He's gonna be missed this year.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Big they got time.
That's right. We'll drunk call him like. He
calls he can we all be there, please?
Does he drunk call you a lot?
They he got
has, he has recently. Yes, I get drunk calls. And I get questions.
We gotta record it. We gotta record it. The call on the and then put it on our next podcast.
I get questions.
Like what kind of questions?
What kind of questions? So he called me and he said, "What's an otter?"
Otter?
You're not kidding. What's an otter?
What's an otter? So this is in our community, in the gay community. So every like I'm considered a bear.
Okay.
Jason would be considered a cub. So there's other.
So what's an otter?
An otter is somebody who's small but hairy, and who is in the bear community, who likes bears. So that's, and Heath is not that. So he happened to be talking to a guy at a bar in Florida, who was gay, and the guy said that he was an otter. So he called me to ask me what an otter was.
Well, and as so, we were at that breakfast that morning, fantastic. Drinking our coffee and having alcohol, our drinks, and also we were talking. Heath was continuing on the conversation by asking about a whole bunch of other things.
So, like, do you when you see someone, do you instantly go, "Oh, that's a bear. That's an otter. That's a whatever." No. What would you give these two guys?
What would I give them?
Like bears?
Yeah, they're both bears.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. And you're kind of in between there.
I'm in between?
Yeah, because I'm guessing you're hairy. So that automatically kind of categorizes you as bear-ish.
Bear-like.
Bear-like.
Right? Now, if you were a muscle guy, you'd be a wolf.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. You got something to work towards.
I'll work toward being there a wolf. I'm hitting the gym.
Let's go.
Get a wolf tattoo.
And I can totally see.
Listen, I'm not out there looking at all the guys going, "Oh, man."
But here's the funny thing. I can totally see that. Heath calling, "Hey, Jim, what's an otter?" Just flat out like that. That's what it was.
No, that's exactly what happened.
And how many animals are there in your community?
Oh, God, I don't know.
There's a lot.
I'm sure there are. Yeah.
You just concern yourself with being a wolf, man.
See, well, I'm working toward it.
There you go. You've got a goal now.
Now, I know you guys, we have a time limit. We all good?
I got to go
soon.
No,
we don't have. We're good.
Okay.
I have you to guys? Leave soon.
Tom has to leave
just
soon.
Just so you guys, like, unfortunately.
So the 40 frame. Yeah, I mean, so that's,
the 40 frame is just the best, and I wish it would come back.
Do you think it ever will come back?
It will.
I think so. Yeah, I think they got to figure out the programming right, get it in the right places, have the right people running it. Yeah. I think that's a big.
Do you think it could be possibly back next year in Vegas?
I think so, because they'll have centers that they can use. Like, you should use run the Gold Coast. No.
Oh,
you're good at running. He's all the other
running too much shit, man.
He would have to live in Las Vegas for the whole time the Open Championships were there.
Yeah. That's true.
That would be just a little too much.
Much like the Bowler's Journal, it runs congruently with.
And that's how the 40 framer used to be. It was congruent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it runs every weekend or every day. You could bowl it like it had. They had squads. Every day, yeah, right? Yeah.
I kind of regret not bowling it my first year there, and they didn't have it last.
Oh,
year.
Oh, dude! Like I said, just bring it back. Buckets and buckets of beer was just.
It's a social thing.
Oh yeah, it is.
It's just fun. It was just fun. And then they actually do a national tournament in Vegas because they do it. They actually have a league, and they do it at other tournaments in Ohio and other places.
Toledo, I think, right? Yeah. Like a big,
So then they do a big tournament with all the top four people. Sherry went.
Yeah,
with,
Sherry Steelman.
With Miss Steelman. Yes.
With Amber Hirsch.
Yes, they actually won some doubles
second or
part
third,
or something.
Yes.
And
wow.
They got to go to, like, the national one.
Oh,
really
geez.
Cool.
Right. That is pretty cool.
Lyle one point
Lyle's
was,
done it before,
was, he was
too.
Up there
yeah.
pretty close, too, I think,
wow.
to the top that yeah. he could have gone to that, too.
Yeah.
Do you plan on Bowler Journal?
I haven't in the past. I mean, I'll see how I've, you know, maybe. I mean, I know Jason talked about it, too. Maybe
I plan
just
on
to
bowling
get
some Friday
extra
night.
Games, you know, but
yeah.
Again, usually I try to just save up for that great bowling I do during the national event. But this year, I don't know, because like I said, this started off in my own personal World Series of bowling, so I don't know how much I'm going to want to do extra if I don't have to.
Well,
but
typically when we go up, because we go up early, I go in and check in and make sure that everything's said, we're all good, everybody's checked in, and there's no questions and all of that, and then we would go take a drive down to Reno.
Yeah.
down to Tahoe, mm-hmm. South Lake Tahoe, which is a beautiful drive.
Oh, yeah.
We've never
yeah.
done it. And especially now with all the snow, there'll be loads of snow banks and then coming down an incline up north of the lake and just drive along the lake down to South Lake Tahoe.
You take 395 down?
I think
we just took like back roads. It's beautiful, yeah. and we end up around Sparks, kind of okay. back around.
Is it cold
Sparks.
In Reno? Like, will it be cold?
It
this
will
weekend?
if you probably at night.
Yeah,
I think
it's like the 40s.
Yeah, I heard there's some snow at the lower levels.
Yeah, I think you probably need a little bit of yeah.
there'll still be a lot of snow around
and stuff.
Yeah. Friday high of 63, low of 37.
Yeah, it's pretty chilly.
And then 66, 35, 66, 38, 66, 37.
The nice thing about Reno is that if you're staying at either the El Dorado, the Silver Legacy, or Circus, they're all connected. They call it the Rug. So you don't ever have to leave there except to walk 2 blocks to the bowling center.
Right across the parking lot.
I'm staying like 15 minutes away.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
You're going to miss all the fun now.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I can still hang out.
Yeah.
It's like a 10-minute Uber.
Yeah.
So just come out and hang out with us and, you know.
Yeah.
You guys are all staying in the same.
Silver Legacy, yeah.
So yeah, we're staying at the El Dorado.
I'm at the El Dorado. Me and my family.
But what I'm saying is if you want to bowl doubles.
Okay,
I'd love to bowl you doubles, man.
I have to get going, guys.
Okay.
So sorry.
Tomas.
Tom has to leave.
Tom has to leave. Love you, babe.
Love you, guys.
Let me open the garage for you, man.
Yeah, I'm going to use your restroom.
No, you can't.
And Michelle can take over this mic.
Everybody have fun.
Do you want to pause for a second?
No, we don't need to pause.
We're
good.
We're fine.
No, we're good. We're good.
Edit.
Yeah. So that noise... That noise is the garage door opening.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it doesn't show up on the podcast.
Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Right. So, Jim.
Yes, sir.
I kind of wanted to get some history on you. When did you first start bowling?
When I was 8.
8 years old. How did you first get into bowling?
Well, I lived in Florida, and it was one of those things where my mom bowled. I grew up in a bowling center. My grandmother bowled. My uncles bowled. You know, so it was just kind of a family thing. I mean, when I was younger, my mom used to put me in the playpen on the mm-hmm. back of the bowling center, you know, while she's bowling a league or something, you know, and that's kind of where it started. I would go with my grandmother would come pick me up every Tuesday night when she bowled her league, and I would sit there in the old days of hand scoring.
Yeah.
You know, that was a
great grease pencil.
You know, yeah. I mean, it was a great way, you know, to learn math and to figure out how to, you know, do your adding and additions. I made mistakes. Sometimes I didn't like it, but you know, I mean,
yeah.
Hey.
You were able to correct it still, but and then I would bowl a Saturday morning league. I was never a stellar bowler. You know, I was never a standout athlete in any sport, but I was a good participant. And a good sportsman in the sport. You know, I was never that.
He's a
I was,
good yeah. bowler
you're,
now.
I was yeah, never, no.
He's... You'll never see me hit or kick or throw a ball or anything like that at all.
And it's funny you talk about that, hitting and kicking and stuff. We've actually become the Nazis at that now. When we see people do that, we look forward to going up to them and say, do it again and you're out of here.
Well, even just throwing the ball on the rack. I've seen people do that when they get pissed off or they go and they hit the balls and... Then a ball falls off the rack and it's uncalled for.
Well, it's like even John Ball came up to me and goes, "Hey, because we were having some big time issues in the Warriors League, and to where Tomas, love you, babe.
Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Bye.
We were actually having a problem in the Warriors League to where we had a couple people breaking chairs and a table.
Oh my gosh, it's bowling
almost,
people.
Yeah, almost a fist fight, and that's not what the Warriors League is about.
Right.
And so we had a big old team meeting about it, or a league meeting about it, and John talked to us, and John said, I want you to talk about it, too, because I'm like, you brought all these teams over here. I know you have some things to say, too. So I said my piece, we said our piece, and he basically said, next time, you know, it happens, let me know, and you can kick him out of the league.
I don't think we've ever been like that.
No,
personally.
If I get aggravated or mad, I just throw the ball harder at the
team. Right. I mean, I don't think we've ever, you know, disrespected.
As long as I've watched, been around you guys bowling, I have never ever seen any of you guys.
They're both cool as a cucumber, man.
Really upset about it, anything
it's
at
a,
all.
It's a game.
It doesn't pay my mortgage.
It's not my living. I don't. It's
yeah.
If it were my living, I might have a different opinion.
Absolutely.
But then I probably wouldn't be bowling
leagues.
I think where right? people get confused is league bowling is what it's social. Yeah. You're not there to make ton. I mean, you're there to have fun. Yeah. Right?
Now, I've known you a very long time. They've known me longer. And yeah. even, I would say in my teenage years, into my early 20s, I was a hothead. Yeah, I was absolutely. A dick. I would kick sure. stuff. But then you grow up.
You mature.
You grow up and you mature.
I've seen you not necessarily throw the ball, but kind of drop the ball on the rack just because.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a long time ago.
You know,
oh, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that happens, right? I get it.
And what, once you,
when it's on purpose, yeah. it shouldn't be.
And once you become, now that I'm on the board of directors, right. you kind of have to. Exactly.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You see it differently. And
absolutely.
You
and then you reflect back, gosh, I was one of those guys at one point. I know I was never raised that way.
Yeah.
Being brought up through yeah. the junior programs, you yeah. know, and even Jim in Florida being brought up through the junior programs, sportsmanship was promoted.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, you need to be a better loser than winner.
I mean, I remember in my junior program there was a kid who was an older kid, and every time he bowled bad, he would go back and hit something. Hit the candy machine, hit the soda machine.
We probably all know people
and,
like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Every time. I mean, it was every frame, you know, and. I'm thinking, you know,
yeah, it's uncalled for.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never seen Keith get like that. And I mean, very rare.
And if I do, it's because I'm having an issue of something other than bowling.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It will have nothing to do with bowling. I won't get pissed. I mean, I do get mad when I bowl bad, but I'm not going to beat the rack up and throw my bowling ball around. No.
Yeah. You remember all Dennis Fitzsimmons, right?
Dennis Fitzsimmons. Okay. Yeah.
Bowling something with him at Valley, you know, many, many moons ago. I got a bad break, and I think I kind of, like, smacked the chair or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Dennis...
Well, he was sitting in it.
Well, no, yeah. And Dennis comes up to me, and he kind of starts laughing. He goes, Steve, I just want to let you know that you are an absolute saint compared to what your father was. And I go, oh, really? And he goes, there wasn't a rack safe in San Diego when your dad was bowling.
It's funny you bring that up because I would say probably when we were still bowling at Parkway, I remember your dad actually rolling. He was rolling a 300, mm-hmm. and the lane broke down, and he came back with the ball and just slapped it right on the ground, and it bounced back up into his hand.
Yeah,
and I'm just looking at him going, "Wow."
Yeah.
Now, did you ever bowl at Golden Bowl when it was?
He did not. I mean, okay. he didn't come to San Diego until the '90s.
I used to bowl moonlight bowling there on Saturday nights, and that's where I first met Pops. And he definitely no rack was safe in that in that house.
Yeah. You know,
if you saw a broken rack more there, likely it was Pops that broke it.
I think it used to. I don't think it's as bad now as it used to be. With
oh no, yeah,
I mean,
it's
it
definitely.
Used to be really really bad, and there were the usual suspects. Mm-hmm. You know, Don Jackson's son. His name was Mike.
Yeah, he bowls Friday nights.
Does he really?
He bowls Wednesday and Friday
nights. So
he's
bowling again now. Yes. So back, gosh, in probably the '90s, we'd bowl at Town and Country, mm-hmm. and he would, you know, mongoose with the metal backing, and mm-hmm. he would whack the ball return.
Really?
And it was like, oh my goodness! And so there, you know, I think it's changed a lot. And he comes to mind first off because we bowled a lot of the same leagues and things like that, but. I don't think it's called for anymore. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think
it's definitely
violence.
Not like it was.
We don't need violence in bowling.
No. I mean, not at
it's
all.
It's not necessary.
Not at all, man.
I will say that I had an incident a while back. I don't know how long ago it was with what's his name that stuck his bowling bag in our bowling area.
Oh, dude. Okay.
I almost went to blows.
This is common courtesy, man. I don't understand what people think. Okay. Say we're on 29 and 30. This dude's on 31 and 2, and he's bowling on 32. So they're on the table on 32. This dude comes up right next to us, right where we're all doing this, literally says, excuse me, puts his stuff right in front of us, three lanes away from him. And I go, I'm thinking there's plenty of room at your lanes. And this, I've never seen Keith just light up with like a hair up, flame of his ass. Grabs his bag, puts it right next to his lanes. He goes, it stays here. Do not come over here again. And I went, whoa, I've never seen this out of Keith. Wow. The dude was petrified.
I'm like, you cannot do that. That is rude. It's absolutely rude. Well, I mean, when we're two all pair away, there,
yes, I get it. Yeah. Not on the same lanes. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, we had an incident on our Wednesday night league.
Well, in your Thursday night
on our
league, too.
Oh, in our Lady All-Star League, we had it a couple times.
Well, you
times.
And Jason did, too.
And Jason and I had it last year at Parkway.
It's common sense, people. You know,
when you have some of the areas that are not very big, you know, and there's 10, like Thursday nights at Parkway is the shirts and skirts is 10 bowlers.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That's a lot of bowling.
And Warriors too is 10 bowlers too.
You know, so you don't have much space and we had incidents last year.
We're no longer in the day of where you bring a single ball in, right? People are bringing 8 and 10
balls.
I bowl
senior league on Fridays.
Right?
So. Yeah. I bowl senior league on Fridays. Thank you. It is a blast. I wish I could bowl every senior league known to me.
Where at?
At Parkway. At Parkway? 12:30, okay. I bowl CC's Trios. Love it.
Oh, it's in the afternoon.
Yes, it is. 12:30 first. You know, I don't work Friday, so it's perfect fit
awesome.
For me. But there is a gentleman that bowls. He's a senior. He's probably in his 60s. He brings 8 bowling balls to bowl league.
Hey, I even think 6, when I bring 6 is overkilling it.
And I just realized it last week because he was bowling next to us, and I brought my little 4 ball. I only take 4 balls in the bowl. And here he comes with 2 of them. And I'm like, wow. And so I, you know, the bowling gods got me because I made a comment to one of my people I was bowling with. And I go, yeah, all that. And he still shot 160.
So you shot 160 what?
Yeah. I think, you know, went like lower 710 or something. No, bowling gods hurt me. But I was kind of like, why do you have to have all this stuff? You know, you don't need it. It's league bowling.
Yeah.
You don't need 10 bowling balls. You know, especially at 12:30 on a Friday at Parkway.
When it's fresh.
Yeah. Most of the time we're fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, all the other sports too. You know, things have changed. In sports.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Every day, every week, there's, you know, at least 5 new bowling balls that are coming out that everybody has to have. So, you know, and thank goodness there's a limit at the tournament, you know, at the Nationals because.
What is the limit?
You can only check in. I think it's so 4. Many, right? Is it 6?
Oh,
6.
6.
6 balls. So you can only take 6 in.
I usually take 4.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I mean, can you imagine? I mean, some people would take. Remember, a couple of guys would come in with 10 balls. Like they had their own rack, you know, that they built.
Well, it was like the Home Depot racks. Yeah.
Who does that? What's his name?
Oh,
that
my God.
Don Jackson had
that
his.
That was it, Don Jackson.
Don Jackson was the first guy I'd ever saw that made one.
Lyle had one.
Doesn't Lyle still have one?
I think he might.
I remember.
She just came up too. Oh, God. What's her name? Can't think of her name. Here I go again.
There we go.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's okay.
The one with the flower.
Gail Reset. Oh, Ken.
Oh, Ken.
Ken used to do that too. Gosh, yeah.
Those are the three I remember at Kearney Mesa.
Yeah.
That they would come in with their own built rack and just roll it on.
But now the racks are like the flatbed racks that I've seen like 4 triple.
Well,
we actually
do use those at Nationals. Jason found one on.
But that's just to
carry all our stuff, you know, to the pairs.
It's 4 of us.
There's 4 of us that use that.
But that's
know?
One person.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one person had like at least three.
It was like that last year at Nationals. People were using when we bowled in Vegas. They were using the wagons.
Uh huh. Yes.
The teams that were bowling before us, we went to go watch, and the guys had them all lined up in the center, and they had three or four 3 ball rollers in each wagon, and I thought, holy smokes, you wonder why your shoulders are messed up, your backs are messed up, your knees are messed up. You don't need that many balls. I mean, if you can't do it with 3 or 4, really, I mean, that's just me speaking that. I mean, I know there's people that
you know,
throw
but nowadays,
balls,
you but. Know, everybody has, you know, it's either shiny or dull,
pin up and down. I'm guilty.
Well, you know, so I mean, you know, you come out.
Most recreational bowlers don't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But when I saw him do that, I was kind of, I'm sitting down in my usual corner spot right there. And I was like, oh my, I never thought I'd see that.
Well, I mean, league bowling is what it is, right? Yeah. I mean, it's league bowling. And I think, again, I think people just. They put so much into it. They think it's the only thing they have.
Yeah.
Maybe that for them is their, you know, is their tournament bowling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there just is no room to, you know, for all the balls. If everybody's bringing in 4 to 6 balls, you just.
Well, on that Warriors League, you have all the high rollers in there.
That's true.
You know, I always think of it as when people are bringing in, you know, I bring in 4, Michelle brings in 4, Jason brings in 4, you know, now, you know, all of a sudden you've got almost 10 balls just for us. And if the other team has it,
Is that why they wind up the back there in Reno? Because it looks like they it's way that, wider.
So it's actually it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I was actually fortunate enough. I've already bowled there since the remodel. The ladies' championships there was the first year after COVID. It was actually the first tournament we bowled.
Oh, sweet.
And it's wide open, and it is spectacular. That's cool. I think everyone will be really happy with how wide open it is. You know, you just have to walk along that little skinny aisle to get past the stadium seating, and that's all been taken out.
Oh, so there's no more stadium seating?
There is no more stadium seating. No. So I think that everyone will really see it and look at it and say, you know, this is probably the best way to have done this. You have more space to move people through.
I loved seeing that, man. You're like looking down on the lane.
I think they thought it was going to be
much bigger than what they thought.
Yeah, and it ended up not working out for what they wanted, I think.
Yeah.
Is all it was. And I heard that, you know, they've resurfaced the lanes there.
I heard they're like flat now. They redid.
I heard they redid
all. How do you resurface composite?
I heard they redid everything there. Yeah. I heard they called it resurfacing, but maybe that's just a rework.
Maybe they just clean it all the way down to the composite, and then they re-put the...
Because they put a lot of money into it, because they just signed that contract to stay there however many more years.
I don't know how many more years it was.
Because I know Vegas and them, you know, and I've heard a lot of grumbling over the years about, wow, it's always staying out kind of in the west.
But those are your two best venues.
But I... Yeah. And they're saying, well, you know, people from Florida don't always want to come to Vegas because it costs so much. Well, you know, it's going to cost us the same if we have to go that way. So,
One time they were looking at building one around Walt Disney World. Yeah. And Disney, they wanted to do it on the property. Yep. And what the Disney asked is that instead of it doing a team event on day one and then doubles day two, they wanted you to have a day in between before you bowl the doubles and singles.
Oh, that wasn't going to work.
Because
they wanted you to spend money in the parks.
Right, because they want you to be there for the parks. That make it a family vacation.
Which makes sense, right?
As a business aspect,
if Disney was going to put, you know, $10 million into some complex, they wanted some of that money back.
Yeah.
And I get that. Yeah. But at the end, how many families were going to do that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the average, the age of the bowlers is, a little bit higher. And, the cost continually goes up. I mean, look at Reno, how much the rooms have gone up.
Tom and I were actually talking about that yesterday, about the flights. Mm-hmm. He had asked me, hey, how much did you guys pay for your flights? I said, well, ours were still $350, and we're going from Vegas to Reno.
Oh, jeez.
So that's just the cost to go there. But, I mean, we looked at all the possibilities. We thought about driving. We thought, okay, what's the best way for us to do this? Because I have to be back in Vegas on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. So, but we thought about it, and it was like, okay, we're just going to bite the bullet and pay the $350.
Because driving, even bowling the 7 a.m. squad and then getting in the car and driving down, it was still almost eight hours.
Wow.
From Reno to Vegas. Oh. If you don't run into any problems.
Right. And then you're driving into the middle. And, we didn't. And you're driving.
So you're leaving immediately after singles and doubles on Sunday?
We're leaving that afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah.
When singles and doubles again?
Ours is 7 a.m.
I'm going to beat you up.
7 a.m. Come on, 7 a.m.
Read your email.
I looked at it just the other day. I just forgot.
I think we have really good... I'd rather bowl early
Saturday
than late.
2 p.m. and then Sunday at 10:30 a.m.
Right. You're bowling the squad after us for singles and doubles. We actually asked to bowl the early squad.
Mm-hmm. So you can get going.
Well, not only that, to be honest, I like the fresh. I like to be, fresh.
Yeah, fresh.
And so, Jason and I have actually bowled better on those early morning squads. So for us, knowing that the situation we were in this year, and we may be in it next year too, but being in this situation, we knew we wanted to be done just in case we needed to catch a specific flight.
So, that's the hardest part is finding people to bowl the 7 a.m. squad. So
I'd bowl at any squad.
Me too. I always help him.
That now until I come and ask you.
Hey, I'm not that's my father.
I'm not getting up at 6 a.m. to come bowl.
But it's like city tournament. He goes, what time's team event? I go, 9 o'clock. He's like, why is that so early? I'm like, it's 9 o'clock, man. It's not like it's 7.
Right. Exactly.
People hate that.
Dude, my dad hates that.
I can't
that.
Tell you how many I'd times. That's why you see the emails. I need volunteers. Who wants to bowl at 7? And then suddenly something happens and somebody says, oh, Jim, I now need to bowl at 7 a.m. Can I move to 7 a.m.? Like, where were you 3 months ago when I was asking this question to get people set up there? So now we have to juggle things around.
Jim, Jim does so much behind the scenes.
He does beyond a lot behind the scenes.
It is like a moving city all by itself.
I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
He's an amazing planner. I will say this. He has books. And Jason helps out as much as he can. Yeah. We're always there, any of us that are around to, you know, anything we can do to support him, whether that's just carry the books that he needs or do whatever.
I remember when you were checking in one time, everybody, I go, do you need a drink? You looked at me, yes. What would you like? I'll bring it to you. Yeah.
So in the beginning, the way that they did it is we had somebody that we had to actually physically do the check-in. And then I'm not the only large group of people, but I am the largest group of that I bring.
Mm-hmm. The largest.
The largest, yes. Yeah. There are other large groups that come, and they do the same thing now. So now they dedicate somebody to us that simply goes through. So even though I've asked for all the information, once I put the information in to thebowl.com, they have to go in and verify it. So they go in and verify your average. Mm-hmm. They verify, you know, the green sheet they're looking for.
the damn green sheet.
So, you know, we've had this happen. They actually questioned a couple people where they bowled the ABT and won $10,000, but they didn't report it.
Right.
So you have to report all those. So if you win, if you win a lot of money in a tournament, you have to report it.
I think it says on the sheet over $600.
Yeah. Something like that.
That's
now
the IRS
part. That's the IRS part.
Yeah, so anything
right.
over $600 in a year, a calendar year, you have to report it to USBC for this tournament.
Isn't that crazy? Well, we were just talking about it on the way here about people that didn't want to give their social security numbers. So USBC says, okay, that's fine, but we're taking 30% of your earnings. So let's say, and I said to him, let's say you won $10,000. You're they're going to take
$3,000.
They're going to take that money right
that
off
also
the top.
Includes the side pot. So, because they have a record of that. So they will spend
$99. Just give them your social security number. Come on, you know. Yeah. But there are people that are really leery about that.
Yes.
And, you know, okay, that's fine. But think about it in the realm of it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
If you feel like you're going to win a lot of money, just give them your social. You know, I mean.
I don't give it to me.
Here,
Jim.
We were talking about that. Like, here, just give it to them.
Worry. You know, I have a folder for you, literally in my email. Just says Jim.
You should. Yeah, I mean, you have
all your email goes in that folder.
You know what's funny? Because he already has people. We haven't even bowled yet. He already has people that are already in line to join him.
Oh, wow.
For next year.
And that's why you're expanding to 132 possibilities.
So you asked before how this all happened, right? So then as we were growing, we just noticed that there were people, single people, double, you know, two people that wanted to bowl, but they couldn't really put together the team, or they would have trouble collecting from people, right? So I have
That's where my big thing is, too, is you have 96 teams.
Mm-hmm.
How tough was it collecting all that money?
It's pretty tough, but here's the thing. Because I have a group, they give me a little bit of extra time. If you just went as a single team, when you register, you have to pay.
Yeah.
So as having the large group, as being a coordinator.
Because they understand.
Right, as being a coordinator, what they do, I still have to pay a deposit by a certain amount.
Yes.
And then by this date, all of it has to be paid.
Okay.
So this is why I'm on people all the time.
Yes.
That, you know, you need to pay, you need to send me your entry fee. And then, you know, if you can't do it all at once, because I start way back then.
He even gives terms. Come on, guys.
All have trouble, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You know, it's not everybody
can afford to pay that up front.
I mean, $230 is a lot of money to pay. So if you need to...
That's how much it is now? I don't even know how much it is now anymore.
I think it's $230.
Right? It's $230. So let's say you can say, you know what, Jim, I'm kind of tight. Can I pay you half now and pay you half later? Sure, and I'll write it down. And trust me, you'll be getting that email.
Yeah.
That says, hey, remember, you still owe me $115.
But at the end of it, everybody gets their money in.
Oh,
You know, he gets it paid. And
I just... You're amazing, man.
So that's how it is, right? So that is the premise behind all of it, is that I always felt like there was people that wanted to bowl, but they couldn't. It's a fun tournament. It's a nice tournament. It's an experience all within itself.
And I want to tell everybody listening to this, Jim is right there at the door squad room, greeting, hugs, kisses to every single person that walks through that room. And it is awesome to see.
If you wanted it or not.
If you wanted it or not.
Well,
sometimes I wanted it twice.
Right.
And only Michelle gets the special hug.
Absolutely.
And
yes. I hope and pray that I get to see one of them special hugs sometime this weekend.
I sure hope you don't. Yeah. That means
you're struggling. That's right. I don't want to see it.
Poorly.
Just for shits and grins, I want to see it.
It's, you know. It's our special hug.
Yeah.
Special
hug. It's an amazing thing how you've just put this huge group together, man.
He does it because he enjoys it. Yeah. Guys. I mean, he's not asking for anything.
No.
We've done many things behind the scenes to honor him, yes. which he is not always receptive to.
I know.
What a lot of teams love to do, too, like what we do, one of the most favorite things we do is we all go to dinner
yep.
afterwards.
Yeah.
After he's finally floored that biggest squad and we go have dinner and he can be, and then to be honest, he's already thinking about next year.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen? You know, how's he going to coordinate it all? So,
so now you work too, right?
He does have a job. Yeah,
so you're doing this and a job, and that's practically a full-time job with all that many people.
Only towards the end. So in only the last couple months now, because teams and people change so quickly.
I don't know how.
So the way it goes. So you know, I get all the information. I get most of everybody. Like when you tell me you're going to bowl, I already have your information.
Yeah,
right? I know everything about you that you probably don't want
to. Like, oh, I'm scared.
Seen all of your stuff.
Oh my god.
So you guys are easy now, right? I just put you in and I just say, send me the money. Why don't you send me the money?
Do I have any warrants?
You might after this one, buddy.
So, you know, it's the newer people that I need to get out. And that's why, you know, I send email to everybody to remind people, this is the dress code. This is the ball things, you know, that has to happen because things with balls change all the time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have to go to the squad room. You have to be there in time. It's you know, there are things that have to happen and you have to do it whether you want to or not.
He still has issues even as we're getting on the
line. I've
been getting text messages just while we've been sitting here.
I say,
about nationals?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I tell people, I say, fill out your damn green sheet and pay your money and Jim won't bother you.
I won't. It's great. No, but that's true.
It's pretty damn simple.
Once you paid me, I haven't had any reason. I think I asked you for bowlers once.
Yeah, that's right. The two low average who I talked to and
they weren't able to.
When we had the lower team count, we even had shirt. I mean, we even got sponsors
for
and
shirts.
Did team
yeah,
shirts.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we did that. And then as we were growing, I said, we can't do that anymore because it's too hard.
I should talk to you.
Ooh, hot off the press. Hot off the press.
Something, you know, like
with Eye of Bowling.
Yeah, and just
we could probably
get a group discount or something.
Well, or we could, if teams wanted to. So what they do for the Golden Ladies is they design a shirt every year that's specific to the Golden Ladies.
Dude.
So maybe that's something we can talk about for next year.
That would be sick.
You know, send out something if I can, you know, if we got a little group of, you know, we'd have to have a design or figure out what
I already have an idea.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.
You know, one thing I will say, if you get them without the names on the back, you can get them a lot quicker. But if we started to do it sooner than later, you know, we could probably get something set up to where teams could match. Now, the one thing would have to be they'd all have to be identical.
Exactly.
You know, you have to have the same style and the same colors,
but they could put in, like, if you had
you could put logos.
Logos.
If you made that whole bowl and it would be lit up.
We did that. We had that a couple of when we were in.
You guys know, we
were in New York, we all had the cool white California kind of beach scene from. They were actually, it was from the back of Kearney Mesa Bowl.
Oh, okay.
It was the
masking
unit
that
was on our shirts.
Right. So sailboat, and we put the sponsor name in the sail as you would see.
Yeah.
Usually in a sail anyway.
So our whole group that year was that. We wore those shirts.
Yeah.
Our whole.
That's awesome, man.
Group, so.
So we have some. You have some tournaments coming up, then, man. I have some tournaments coming up. You got tournaments coming up. It's
cool. You know, I mean, now
I
that
got
we'll,
nothing.
He does
nothing.
Actually, we do. We're, you know, it's crazy because before, you know, last time I was here, COVID was still going on, so we weren't even bowling.
No,
and a lot's happened since then to now, and
there's a lot of stuff to bowl now.
There's more than there was.
Yeah.
Which is good for all of us. And to be honest, being a senior for me has opened up a lot of doors that I probably didn't walk through before. And I'm going to keep doing all the senior stuff because that's my lane, okay?
Yeah.
That's where I belong. We did do the summer. They have the senior games, which was at Parkway.
Yeah,
which is I remember that. Yeah.
Me and Joe bowled.
Yes, and again, it's something we need to promote for more seniors. We need more people to come out and do that kind of stuff. And I don't know if you got the emails about you made it. You qualified to go to the national level.
Really?
If you won any of the medals.
Yeah, we won me and Jopa won quite a bit, actually.
So, and the only thing is the timing.
Bragger.
The
year, well,
I mean, you know.
I didn't get the email, though.
I'm surprised
So the unfortunate part about that is that, you know, some people, they just want to bowl for money. This one isn't necessarily
money.
Oh,
yeah.
It's for medals. Yeah, no, and you go, and it's, you know, it's for participation.
Well, yeah. But they have
and
national events.
Of, mm-hmm. And it's part of a larger senior games that happens here in San Diego. So they have... They have everything. They have billiards.
They have
volleyball. They have
swimming.
Softball. All of it. Yeah.
They have everything.
They have all of it.
And I love that they break
baseball,
it.
Too.
You know, it's your age group. It's not just, everyone over 50. I mean, it's broken down.
Right. Especially in bowling. So they do every in 5-year increments. So it's, again, it's about participation. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily always about money.
Yeah, I think, you know, tournaments for me.
It's a fun tournament.
And for me, tournaments like... My tournament experience is going to be different depending on what I'm bowling. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm bowling city tournament, yes, I'm bowling. I'm trying to bowl, but it's different if I'm bowling nationals or if I'm bowling, you know, senior queens or if I'm bowling, you know, something of that.
Hugs.
Now, and see, for me in May is going to be busy for me because the first weekend of May, I have state tournament.
Right.
Second weekend of May, we have city.
Right.
Third weekend of May, I'm bowling PBA regional doubles with Tim.
There you go.
So it's the same thing. It's the same, like, serious here, fun mindset. Right. Yeah, it's going to be nuts.
Where is the state tournament?
State tournament's in lovely Rockland, California.
Set up we by Oroville?
It's east of Sacramento.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So. You know, that's another tournament that unfortunately just got dismantled from what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's sad because... Honestly, the fact that we're Hall of Famers, we should be kind of participating in that, I feel, but it just hasn't been good enough. It's just not worth it.
The limelight of that tournament has definitely diminished.
Absolutely.
I
hope it comes back.
I hope it comes back.
But California is a weird state for bowling, guys. I mean, we already know that.
I talking to Andre Eubanks, because he's the president, you know, I talk to him a lot about, you know, what we need to do and stuff like that. And
well, his SoCal Queens and Masters, he gets a really good response to that. They have it every year.
Yeah.
You guys should be – they have a senior men's division as well. You know, it's usually up at Cal Bowl. He usually always has it at Cal.
Right, because it's the larger.
Right, it's a larger house. And he'll have, like, the women on Saturday and the men on Sunday. He usually does it the same
weekend.
It's
a one-day.
It's a one-day event. You know, it's something you guys, you know, I love to promote it for him, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's close. We can drive up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we have to go very far.
SoCal Masters.
So SoCal, he calls the SoCal Queen. I think it was in September.
September.
Yeah, I was pretty excited. I won 2 Queens events this year already. So my hope... that I go, my goal is always to win.
3-peat.
I'd love to win senior queens. It's definitely on my bucket list.
Yeah
it's a hard one, though. Mm-hmm. It's a hard one to win.
Isn't that fun, though, to know that you won and you have to go defend your title all the time? You have no choice.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
You're going.
Pressure on me, you know. Again, I try not to think of that stuff. I said last time, the first time I walked in the Golden Ladies, the year after I won, they have your name up everywhere, and you're kind of going, "Oh my gosh!"
You know? No, you just need to stand there and go, "Yeah, me."
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
You know, I've always tried to stay as humble as I possibly
absolutely,
could.
Absolutely, man.
A lot of people have gotten me to where I am, and I don't ever just forget that. And this guy right here has definitely.
Good old
been
Jim.
Along for the ride for many, many, many years.
Ride or die.
Yeah.
He's my ride or die, absolutely. I mean,
that's Jason awesome. On deck, you should have been on this podcast too.
Jason too.
Yeah, Jason.
You know, Jason.
I love Jason.
I bowl doubles with Jason for every single thing. Him and I love bowling with him. If he calls me and wants to bowl, or I call him and I want to bowl, you know, we're there.
Mm-hmm.
Jim and I do bowl hugs together, though. That's the one event that him and I bowl. But we don't bowl any other doubles together,
no,
I think.
I miss those mixed singles. Or the mixed doubles tournaments that you and I used to bowl. Too.
I know. Well, I thought you guys were trying. Are you guys trying to get one?
Trying to do a senior, junior one up in 50 below, 49 and below. I am not on the tournament committee. It was just my idea. So I brought it to them. They're hoping to maybe get something done in October.
But you know, you don't necessarily have to go through the organization.
You are correct.
To do it. I mean, you could do it on your own if you want, and just as long as you have it. Register
sanctioned
through USBC. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not really
true.
But I get why going through the association you know, you're really trying to kind of put that stamp on it.
That also, and I don't have the time.
Right, absolutely.
Like they do.
Absolutely.
So,
I, you know, that's really been always, the last few years has been my biggest bugaboo, is trying to become involved with any of the San Diego Bowling Association stuff. We own a company. We own a business.
Yeah.
And for me to try to carve out more time is just really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not someone that can do it halfway. If I'm going to do it, I need to do it the whole
way.
Besides the fact that I'm an A-type personality. So, you know, but I, you know, was always something, you know, supporting the organization now for me is about you guys, not about some of the
we
people
appreciate
that are
there.
I think you guys are on the right track. And
we always love to hear you guys' feedback, too. Try
I
to
do.
Make
I
it the association better.
You guys, you know, we talked about the whole, you know,
Masters,
all-star teams
all-star
and
teams.
Stuff, too. I gave you, yeah, the Masters and Queens, although I was very excited to do it, I think there's some tweaks that need
yes.
to be made.
Yeah, definitely.
Prize fund.
You know, I mean,
top of the list.
Not just from the Queen. I mean, the Queen side was okay, but that Masters side was a little bit tough. If I was one of you guys, I probably would have had a lot of opinions about it.
Oh, there was.
But
there was.
But I also, you know, there were a couple things that went in on the girls' side, too. You know, we were over there trying to make the prize fund. You know, there's several of us that bowled that event that have done prize funds for 30-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were basically told it's this way or no way, it's like, listen, it's not your tournament.
Yeah.
Okay, it's ours. We paid the money to bowl it. It wasn't about how much we won. It was about making sure that all of the spots got something back that
yeah.
were supposed to get something
exactly.
back.
Winning a Masters tournament in first place was $400 was...
Especially with that many bowlers.
It was almost kind of insulting.
And to bowl that many Slightly. Games.
And to bowl that many games.
yeah.
Well, we did the same.
Yeah.
We bowled as many
yeah.
games,
yeah.
too, you know.
I mean, we're trying. I mean,
but,
we
but
are trying.
Again, what you do is you take that and you build off that.
Yes.
Maybe you need to, you know, talk to, you know, the guru of all tournament, you know, scheduling over here.
Jim's all, no, I got,
yeah.
I got too much on my plate.
But I do think you guys are on the right track with it. And I think getting the youth involved is a really big deal because
mm-hmm.
that's the future of the sport.
Yeah.
Some of us are only around just to kind of,
yeah.
you know, keep our name in the, you know, remember, 57-year-old women can still win Queens.
That's true.
It does happen.
That's true.
You know?
I told you that Youth Stars of Tomorrow program
yes.
that I have, I had
yeah.
41 kids sign up.
Yeah.
I was
how
so
many,
stoked.
How many people have signed up to do the all-star team stuff? Do you guys
I want to say it was a total of 65-ish, 70 adults.
Wow.
And I think 25 to 30 seniors.
Something like that.
It was a total with the youth and the adults and the Stars of Tomorrow. I want to say it's around like 150 or 160.
That's probably...
It's the most we've
had
in years.
And I think it's going to go up every year.
It's promoting everything.
Well,
yes.
But my thing to you would be, okay, so you make an all-star team. What does that mean? That
yeah.
you get to say, I'm an all-star.
Yeah.
Is there going to be something where you're, you know.
If it was up to me, as little as it is, if you make the all-star team, the association should pay for your membership card
they
next
used
year.
To. That was how it was way
yeah.
back, way back.
See,
also,
I never knew that.
If you made the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And they don't even do that.
They
don't pay mine.
Really?
No. So it used to be if you made those things, your fees were paid by the association. 2003, I think, is when us girls were inducted, and I've never had my fees paid.
I mean, even if you gave like $50. $100
with the kids, you could do a scholarship.
Yes,
but with the adults,
the smarts, yeah.
So there was talk at one point years ago, many many years ago, about maybe finding a shirt or maybe finding something that you could give. Like one year, we got towels. Somebody made all the women towels that said "All Star in the Year."
That would be awesome.
Those are things that just throwing out to you guys that maybe looking forward you could do, because really, what does it mean to be an all star? Who gets to know you're an all star? How do you show that you're, especially for the younger kids, like us adults, okay, it's cool, but wouldn't you like something that says, hey, I was an all-star in 2023 or?
I think it'd be cool
yeah.
to make a patch too that you could put on your shirt.
They talked about that too. So one of the years us ladies came up with, you would get so let's say it's your first year you make it and you get the shirt that first year.
Mm-hmm.
And every year you make it, there's like
put a star.
A gold star that
Dude.
You can put on the shirt. So
yeah. That would be awesome.
So, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there, guys. It's something that maybe you guys can
yeah.
bring up at some point. But or maybe if you don't have a shirt, a towel, or something that you could constantly
mm-hmm.
promote. I would love to see it city tournament.
No, I would imagine that there must be people that are would sponsor that as well, not just to go through the association, because obviously the money that you paid is very little that stays in the association. But, you know, there's certainly a lot of businesses of people that bowl that probably would be like, sure, I could, you know, donate
a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, a couple hundred dollars and stuff. And, you know, eventually it's money that you can use for tangible items. You know, a plaque is nice, but...
I was going to say
It's going to stay in your house.
I mean, it's not something that
I didn't say the whole word. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
I think...
I learned a long time ago in sports that when you start collecting trophies and plaques and things like that, you know, they just collect dust and they end up in your closet.
Especially,
so, you know, if I can wear a shirt
or
something.
When they spell our names
wrong. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that'd be cool. Yeah.
But I think...
Well, they can still spell your name wrong on a shirt.
That's true,
too. Or spell your name wrong on a plaque that you've told them your name is this 20
times. But it's like, it's kind of like a silent thing right now because, you know, basically making the All-Stars is part of the stepladder to get to being in the Hall of Fame.
Well, but I think what I would love to see, and I've said this the last time I was here too, we only have city tournament here, guys. That's all. That's all we have in the city to showcase who's there.
Yeah.
Every person who's either been a previous All-Star or a Hall of Famer and they're bowling a squad.
I brought the Hall of Fame up too.
They should be announced. And I'm not saying meritorious service. No offense to the meritorious
service.
Just for
that year, right?
If you were the Hall of Famer, let's say you were on the All-Star team last year.
Right.
And this is this year. You should say, oh, and bowling on lanes 3 and 4, Keith, or, you know, have them all stand out on the lanes. People, if they see you, then they go, oh, yeah.
Last meeting, I brought that up, and I think we're going to bring that back.
And Hall of Famers should always be introduced.
And I told the board, I go, this only take
not even two minutes
to do. And to showcase the people that we do have bowl in this city, I think would be great.
I mean, what's the reason you do an All-Star team?
Yeah.
To be recognized by your peers, right?
I agree.
Or have a picture of all the All-Stars, all the, you know, achievements, and have each bowling alley have it posted in their thing. So people can see
for
that year.
All-Star teams and stuff.
Because you remember how Kearney used to post the 300s that everybody bowled for that year and things like that?
They could kind of do like that. You could have... I mean, we don't have so many bowling centers that it would be out of the realm.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking...
I think, you know, I love to just throw ideas out for you guys to...
I love your ideas.
Yeah.
You know, because... But as far as recognizing the ones before, remember, we stepped on the shoulders of the people before us, and now those kids are going to step on our shoulders, right?
And see, that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to be on the board, because I wanted to have an association where Sophie could be proud of and to depend on. And so I'm hoping one day we can get to that.
Well, I agree.
I mean, you could, you know, in between leagues, so usually there's like a week in between or something. You could always do like a little tournament, the All-Star or something, right?
It doesn't have to be for a cash prize.
It could just be, again, something for bragging rights.
Rights.
I beat the All-Stars this year or something.
Now, didn't they used to have like the Masters tournament? The All-Star team would bowl.
Well, we did it before city tournament.
Yeah.
So we would always bowl. We would always do it. Opening ceremonies, we would do it that so they we wouldn't get we would bowl that first squad, and they would have the women versus the men, and then when there was enough seniors, it was the seniors versus the seniors, and that was always a lot of fun. And it really, you know what, it was for bragging rights.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it really was for.
But that's the idea, though. I mean, if people see this and they go, "Hey, you know, that'd be kind of cool," more people will sign up.
You know. Part of the reason, you know, I did the All-Star team this year, because I didn't do it the year prior because I was kind of on protest, my own personal protest. I had my own protest, for goodness sake. But I did it this year, you know, because, again, it motivates me to get through a league season.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to see where I stack up.
Yeah.
You know, and I did the senior side because I am a senior. Could I probably competed with the regular women? Yeah, maybe. But I felt like it's a way to also have my face showing in the senior side. Like, hey, I've passed the torch to the juniors. I'm now where I need to be in the senior side. And maybe that's something to someone. I know there's a couple people that have said that to me. I appreciate that, you know, you do that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we just need to think about that as just regular league bowlers too, you know?
Yeah.
And what about $5? You sign up to bowl in the All-Star team, you pay $5. That money goes into a fund that helps do something. I mean, I don't know, because you can do all of that kind of stuff. Those are just ideas that I've always had, and I've brought them up at meetings before many, 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 many times. And, you know.
To no avail.
To no avail. Absolutely.
You know, or even instead of just doing a banquet, you know, which can be a lot of money, you put it into a little tournament and then recognize, and that's when you recognize your all-stars, and then you have a bowling event that same night, and then people that want to come out and, you know, encourage people to come and bowl it and meet the all-stars, you know, because it becomes a very private event.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it used to be that when you made an all-star team or you were a Hall of Famer, the association paid for you and one other person to have the dinner.
Not anymore.
And that has changed many, many years. And I think what happened is you started losing people coming because they didn't want to pay.
Yeah.
Now, honestly, if I took the time to fill out a form to be part of a team, why would I not go to the dinner that is going to acknowledge that? That I never understood. And you're never going to please everyone.
No.
But I think, you know, you guys are definitely going in the right direction, and I'm sure a lot of people have opinions.
It'll take some time.
You know.
They'll take some
time. Well, opinions, you know, everybody has them. Oh, yeah. You know. I'd rather, you know, give things behind the scenes than have to go sit in a room with a bunch of people that don't care.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys. Why did you start the podcast?
I had the idea of it because I was extremely bored. This was during COVID. We couldn't do anything bowling.
Yeah.
I can only watch so many YouTube videos of bowling every day.
Right.
So I contacted this knucklehead and I said, hey, what do you think about doing a bowling podcast? And he goes, I think that sounds great.
Yeah.
So I ordered this equipment, and God rest his soul, his brother came over and he set us up, and we just went on from there.
I've listened to everyone. I love your guys' podcast.
Thank you.
Even the crazy ones, like the one with
Jeff.
Oh,
jeez.
Lord have mercy.
That went off the rails real quick.
It did, and surprisingly enough, both Jeff podcasts have just skyrocketed in subscribers.
And during COVID, we couldn't really talk to you.
Right.
You know, we couldn't see you.
Right.
We couldn't see a lot of our friends.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll never forget. I want to say it was like maybe episode 3 or 4 where Nick Pawanda came on. And after that, he goes, I really needed this.
Right.
I can't thank you guys enough.
Right.
And it's just, you know, talking to your bowling friends, talking to the bowling community, getting information out there.
Right.
It got us back into it, you know, without actually bowling.
And this podcast actually made me want to get on the board.
Right.
Because it's kind of like, if I'm reaching out to people, I like to reach out to people in another way.
Right.
You know, so, and try to help.
Well,
so,
it's a lot of fun. It's fun
I love
to
it.
Listen. I'm very appreciative that I've been asked.
Oh, hell times. Yes. And the goal is to make this, you know, bigger and better. It's just going to take time.
Yeah.
And
right now we're surprisingly enough, we have
a ton of followers.
Over 6,200 followers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. And it's
and I mean, and we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on
I listen in my car.
All over the world.
I listen to the podcast while I'm driving.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's cool.
It was like not Pakistan. It was one of the stands, and I was like, "What?"
I'll tell you exactly where it's from. But
I go, "What?"
Yeah, it's insanity. The where these podcasts are coming from.
We had downloads from Ireland.
Probably my family.
Dude, we appreciate it.
Well, actually, we're going to be going to Ireland here in a couple of months. So
we'll hand you some podcast flyers and stuff.
Although Dublin does have a bowling tournament. They have a senior bowling tournament.
Oh, do they?
We're not taking any bowling balls.
Oh, hell no.
The way I know that is because Dan Stricker has bowled
it. Mr. Stricker. Yes. Is he bowling nationals?
No.
I think he's in Spain or Portugal or somewhere.
He travels a lot.
Oh, yes, he does.
Takes his bowling balls with him.
It's cool to see his travels on Facebook.
Yeah.
What do we have?
So we have listeners from...
I know Germany is one of them.
That's a new one.
Oh, God.
Salem, Oregon.
Okay.
Oregon, cool.
Yeah.
Oregon's good. Yeah. There's bowlers
okay.
everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting to the ones out of the country.
That's super cool. So, you know, I would, if you guys are going to do this, I would say, you know, after the Nationals, I think you really need to have Nick and, what's his name, Tony on for sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Lion Roan, okay. have you ever heard of that?
Who?
Roan. It says Lion Roan.
Leon.
Leon, Lion. L-Y-O-N, comma, and it's R-H-O with the thing above the O-N-E. Have you heard of that place?
No.
Dubai.
Dubai.
Yeah, Dubai's cool.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're getting out there.
Well, these could be people that are traveling, and
that's,
you know,
true.
They have.
You guys have a lot of fans.
Yeah. Ukraine.
Oh, boy.
You know, I think talking bowling is it's a great thing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's worldwide. It's a worldwide sport.
Yeah. It is a sport that can unite
everyone. Well, I'm glad you guys decided to do this.
It's
interesting. And the people here.
It's fun. Yeah.
Ganibo Kalmar.
Oh, my goodness.
Where is that?
I don't know.
It's just a place in the world.
Yeah.
I can't believe we have Nationals in 5 days.
Yeah.
So Germany, Sweden, United Arab Emirates, France.
Very cool.
And that's just one podcast. There's numerous cities and countries that are not even on here.
Yeah.
Right now.
I think it's fun to talk bowling, a sport that we're all passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has stories.
I mean,
we have lots.
The only thing I didn't like was Tom freeloading into the third get. No,
that damn guy.
That guy.
And then he's not even here.
I know, he ditched us later.
You know what's funny? Why I
think you should have a female third partner.
I don't even.
Oh, I like it, Michelle. Oh, Tom, you're gonna get replaced, buddy.
So what? I can't remember. But what made us decide on Tom?
It was you.
I know it was.
It was the most terrible idea you've ever had.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Tom definitely brings a difference.
So he came on, and he goes.
I think that was his first one.
I think you were. And he goes, you know, I really like podcasts, guys. I really think I can, you know, we can make this into something. And I go, you? And I go, what do you have to bring to the table? I was like, oh, thanks. But you know what? The more we talked about it, I was like, it'd be cool to have like a third kind of like stat guy to look on internet stuff and, you know, chime in.
Yeah, and we kind of discussed it, and we just came up and said,
like, you know what the hell?
The third guy.
Right.
Third
I feel guy. Sorry for Tom. Let's go. No, I'm just kidding.
I think the camaraderie that you three have is very organic, which makes it a lot of fun to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Me and Tom sometimes.
Yeah, you guys go at it.
Like an old married couple.
Absolutely. Which makes it funny. You know, you're laughing. That's really what life should be about.
Yeah.
We have enough seriousness. You know, we need to have a good time.
Yep.
And not take ourselves seriously all the time.
Well, I know our time is coming short. Is there anything else you
want to say? No, you know what? Before. You guys got to get going, and I appreciate you guys coming out.
I will give you some stats on our group, and that we had our first 300 when we first came back from COVID in 2020, and that was Dan. Dan Patterson.
Dan Patterson.
Jerry shot one last year.
Jerry shot one last year. And of
course, Virginia Young bowled
amazingly.
Right? So that was our second 300. In fact, Dan's was also a milestone one for the USBC tournament.
Really?
I think the 400th.
Oh, wow.
One to be rolled at the tournament.
You would think with this many teams, the odds go up that someone's going to have a honors course.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we were all watching Tony and Nick last year.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Doubles that they were beat out by four pins.
I can't believe that.
And that was like, with 2 weeks left?
Yeah.
Two, three weeks
left? They
will
be recognized, though.
They're getting watches, I think, right?
Something, yeah. That's what I was saying.
You should definitely have both of them on together.
If you could get Nick and Tony. Do a podcast up there, those are the guys I think you should get in there just to talk to them.
Yeah.
I think they would be a really great.
I think
especially
it'd be
Tony.
Too.
Tony's a really great
Tony's
guy.
A riot, dude. Yeah. I love Tony.
We were all on pins and needles hoping they would hold out.
Oh, I know.
It was taking so long. I mean, for doing it for so many years, I knew somebody was finally going to break the 300. So it was emotional.
It really was.
Just to see it that, you know, and that our teams are getting better and that we're moving along and that we're, you know, people know that.
People know
my group.
Yes.
Do you think this could be something to where you might have to do another weekend?
No, I won't do that.
No.
No.
You'll limit it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the fact that the whole weekend is our group is pretty crazy.
Right. So next year we're going to do the weekend of April 19th. So there's a Friday Saturday squad. We're going to hold 48 teams, so that means 48 teams will bowl on that Friday at the 2 p.m. time, and then on Saturday that it will take up all of the 10:30 a.m. and the 6 p.m. squad.
Wow. Now it's in Vegas Saturday. Again next year?
In Vegas, yeah. Right. So then on Saturday is 60 teams, and that'll be...
Wow.
So we'll have all day Saturday will be us, no matter what.
That, and wow, then, that's phenomenal.
Isn't that
and then
crazy?
On Sunday,
it's crazy.
We'll have some teams half the bowl 7 a.m. Most likely it'll be me.
And likely it's our team.
But now you guys volunteered. Now
we all volunteered.
Unless we you don't cut care. It out.
You know, we don't care. No,
I said if I had to.
Well, no, you I'm said I would.
I said I would.
I would.
My old man wouldn't, though.
That's okay. But, yeah,
but he's not your doubles partner.
Yes, he is.
Oh, you bowl with your pops. Okay.
I do. Yes. I will bowl nationals with him, doubles as long as he can bowl. Yeah.
And then we'll have
not many people.
And then on Sunday
that.
We'll have the whole 10:30 a.m. and the whole 6 p.m. squad again. So you know, over the years we've been trying to figure it out so that people don't have to bowl at 7 a.m. because everybody gives me such a hard time about it. But I can't see us getting any higher. The other teams on Sunday is a whole Florida squad, and that's the Florida. They have 24 teams, so that's where the rest of them come in.
Jeez.
They do all the work.
They're jet lagged.
I just put all the information in.
Well, we're not bowling at 9:30 at night and then turning around and bowling, because I know Jack Hansen's teams are doing that.
Well, that's happened to us too, and they
I think we did that one year, didn't we, Steve?
At night
We did that one.
We
year.
Did that one year.
I remember we bowled at night and then came around 7 in the morning.
Well, you know, by the time you get to the 9:30 team squad, most of the time it's running late, so you're not on the lanes till 10:30, 11.
Yep.
And you're off the lanes at 2:30, and you have to be back at 6 in the morning.
Yep.
It's just insane.
And if you happen to put this out before Thursday, make sure you get there early, please.
Oh, this will be out on
Tuesday. Tomorrow or Monday it'll be on.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm not going to run through the emails.
It'll be
He promises that part.
Well, I can't thank you guys enough for coming out.
Well,
love you both.
Love you guys.
And
so
we'll see you
and
in Nationals.
Jim,
appreciate it.
Yeah.
We're going to need to schedule you back on again in a month or so.
Why?
2 months maybe at the most.
Well, I'm down with that.
Cuz we got to go over all the questions and everything.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
We have questions for you.
We do that.
Why didn't we do that now?
Well,
where's the sheet?
We're on 2 hours. I mean, it's up to you.
You can edit it. I can give you probably 15 minutes.
Oh, we'll get it done.
Yes, here it is. Here it is. Da, 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 da. Our questions. Mr. Costello.
Yes.
Question 1A.
A.
What is your favorite ball of all time and why?
I honestly don't have a favorite bowling ball.
See, I knew this was bullshit. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, he likes all of his
balls. All of his balls.
Again, I consider myself a recreational bowler.
Yeah.
I enjoy bowling. I'm not a serious bowler.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to go and research a bowling ball, I'm going to look at what the storm smell is. That's what I'm going to look at. The color.
Fair enough.
And the smell. I like the smell of the balls.
Okay. So question.
Blueberry.
Question 1B.
Blueberry ball.
What is your least favorite smelling ball of all time and why?
Oh, God. What? That was like, there was one. It had a weird. It was like it felt like it smelled like Lysol. It was weird. It was some weird smell than of the ball.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was a weird scent that they had one time, and I was like, I don't like this scent. So, but anyway,
question 2, Reed. Hold, the best one that I had was the Fusion, and that was a blueberry smell. And when Sage and I were living at the condo, this is before Sophie, I had it in the living room. And it smelt up the living room so good.
Best air fresh.
I didn't drill the ball for like 3 weeks after that.
Well, I'm trying to get used to the fact that the Motive balls that I bought don't have
the
scent.
Yeah, they don't have the scent.
They don't have the scent.
All right, number 2. If it wasn't for bowling, what would you be doing? So other than bowling, what other sports would you do? Softball,
yeah. So, growing up, I played baseball in Florida.
Yeah.
I really wasn't into the football contact sport. It just wasn't my thing. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, I just
didn't. Not in a contact sport.
No, not quite like that.
Lord.
But no, I played baseball, and then when I moved out here, I realized, wow, I can play softball. And I was a softball pitcher, and I was mentored by somebody that was a really great pitcher, and I became a pretty good pitcher. I'm actually in the gay softball Hall of Fame.
Say
as being a commissioner and running a softball tournament for almost 12 years.
Hey, we have 3 Hall of Famers at this table.
So,
I'm you're with getting you. There. Oh no, I'm in the Softball Hall of Fame, dude. I don't know if
well,
you
I'm
know
in
that.
A different one.
I'm not in that one, but yeah. I'm in the other
so
one.
So there's four Hall of Famers.
Four Hall of Famers.
Yes.
I call just for softball. I don't believe it.
But yeah. I'm with you. I'm a long time. So I've played softball for 40 years. I was a pitcher also, but mostly played first base and outfield.
Yeah, so I would still be playing if it weren't for my foot and also my back now. But yeah, I do miss it, and I stay in touch with everybody mostly. So but
that's another
I'm
thing
just,
we had in common, too, because we both played softball.
Oh, that's true. Right. That's right. Yeah. So that's right.
And we're born in the same year. There's a lot of
there's
things
a lot
that,
of stuff.
That connect us.
Yeah. It's just like, question three. Who was the biggest influence on your bowling career?
It would have been my uncle, so my dad. So because growing up, my uncle was the one that got me into bowling, and then it was just a recreational. It was a fun thing. And my dad and I bowled in a league. We actually the league, no matter what you bowled, everybody in the league got a bowling ball.
No kidding.
So that was I don't even know if they still do that anymore.
I don't think they do.
But it was
probably
a junior.
Not.
I don't think they do.
The juniors used to do that.
They did.
Get a ball in a bag. Or, I think Nick Pawanda, when he was still doing his junior program, he did
I think
so.
So it was
my dad and my sisters, and that's how we all got bowling. One year we all got bowling balls.
That's awesome.
That was the only time my sisters have ever bowled with me.
Now he gets this sister ball.
Like, exactly.
Yeah, now I get my other sister.
Love it.
My
love
sister, it. Not my sister.
All right, so number four. What is your greatest accomplishment in the sport?
In bowling, we've won a few tournaments not many, but certainly the 300 is always, has always been my goal, and now my goal is an 800. And funny story about this is that one year I was bowling at Kearney Mesa, and I had the first two games, I had 260s. Nick actually called Jason to tell him that I was close, and I just told him
no.
Yeah, I wiped it out. So 780 is my high series.
I have not
come close
but
to
780
that.
Is pretty damn good. Guys.
I've not come close to an 800 since. I think my highest 700 now is probably like around 720, 740. But,
which again is nothing to shake a stick at.
No.
I personally think your greatest accomplishment is just putting all these great people in a group of 96 teams together for nationals, man. It's still unfathomable to me that you're able to do this.
Listen, all of you guys, and I say this when we meet all the time at the, in the squad room, is that you guys help me, right? I mean, it's not just me. I mean, when I'm asking you for information, you guys get back to me. When you don't get back to me, then I'm bugging the hell out of you.
That's true.
Right? So, that's all it is that it's a coordination of everything, and so, and again, right, so like Michelle mentioned before, the $230 is what they charge. That's it. I'm not asking for anything else.
Oh,
I
don't
want anything else.
Just everybody showing up when they're supposed to.
I just, a thank
with
you.
With pants
and a
on
hug.
And a collared shirt.
Exactly.
Right. Yes, yes.
I mean, to me,
I think. Green sheet filled out.
Yeah. And your green sheet.
That damn
people,
green sheet
this is
going to
come
sheet.
Out tomorrow or Monday. Do not get your free green sheets done.
Get your damn think, green sheets filled out.
Bastards. I think one year somebody went around. I mean, one year they went and they got bowling pins and they signed the bowling pins.
I remember that.
So those sit in the house. I love those. Those are really nice. One year they did collect money, and I just felt embarrassed by it, to be honest with you.
I knew you. When I heard that, I go, he's not going to like that.
I tend to agree with you on his greatest accomplishment. I think what it is bringing together people
from all over.
Everywhere. And it's a huge accomplishment.
It's like 400 people.
He'll shoot 800 one day, and he'll shoot more 300s.
Almost 500 people, yeah.
I think that's something he shouldn't. That he should shine so brightly with that.
That's true. So 5 times 96. Yeah. That's
where are our mathematicians?
480
bowlers. 500 right? bowlers.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it 96 times 5? Yep. 480.
480.
I mean, so 480.
480
personalities. And I know the type.
480 people.
The type of man that he is.
Yeah.
It takes a special person to do all of this, and there aren't enough Jim Costello.
I wouldn't do it.
There needs to be.
I'll tell you that right now. I wouldn't touch it. With 10-foot bowl.
Well, that's why you don't. Want, you're not doing it
exactly. I'm just saying it does take someone.
Right, you had a taste
amazing
of it when you were just trying to find two bowlers for me.
Right, and it was only two people.
And how many times did I email you and text you and go, "What are they saying? What are they saying? Have you talked to them? What are they doing?"
Bozos. It was two guys on our Friday league, they bowl on that team with the
this year for this year.
Yeah, yeah. I needed bowlers, okay. And I had mentioned it to Keith. I said, "Hey, do you know any bowlers around this average?" And he goes, "Oh, I think I do. I'll talk to them."
Who was it?
We don't mention the names, but
yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I remember because, and then I'm like, yeah. "Did you talk to them?" No, I didn't see them. They didn't show up. And then 2 days later, have you seen them? Have you talked to them? They're thinking about it.
They're thinking about
it. And then I'm like, have you heard from them?
Because I need to know now, son. Yeah.
And they couldn't.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is they didn't respond. Right. So now now I know what you go through.
Right. So, yeah. You know, because I'm
480
so,
times.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I'm asking, right? So we're asking for a bowler.
Yeah.
You have to figure out the cost. The more that the longer they wait, the less time I have to try to find a replacement. Mm-hmm. So this is why I kind of bug a little bit on that, you know.
Yeah.
But I ask people, so that's, and I try not to be, you know.
You got to be.
You have to be. Sometimes,
I mean, people respond to him naturally, so
it's
part of who he is, and everyone respects him.
Well, I appreciate
immensely.
That.
Absolutely.
And,
I mean, you're,
and
the
so
hard
that's
work
why
you
he
put
gets
in,
all the people who come out to do it because of him.
Yeah.
And
it's funny listening to when people say, "Yeah, just throw, give them the money, and you're done."
And to be honest, when people ask me, and we've had it this year, they're like, "Well, I go see Jim." I mean, I'm on the side. If he needs help, I'm always there. But,
so you said you had people that were having issues like right before they were bowling. What was it? I mean, what issue could it have been?
What do you mean?
Like a nationals problem. Like you get to the lanes and there's an issue. Oh. Like what could have been?
So the
people
one
people have gotten sick or hurt.
Oh, sick.
Well, yeah, that
okay.
too. I mean, we had a guy when two guys actually that got hurt in the first game.
Oh.
So, and one of the guys was bowling doubles with somebody from Texas. So
oh,
now
crap.
I don't have a bowler. Right.
Or oh,
we had a
no.
guy from we had a guy from Minneapolis that did that too. He hurt his hand. And he pushed through, and he just couldn't do it. So he couldn't bowl doubles the next day. So now you as a doubles partner, you don't have it.
Yeah.
I made a mistake last year where I gave somebody the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I felt horrible about that. And that was – and so I'm paranoid about that is that people know the date and the time. And that's why I'm you know, constantly sending out the emails to say – because people are constantly asking me, what time do I bowl again?
Mr. Keith.
So,
well, and
just kidding.
I mean, you've had people
too
that were
don't kid. It's true.
No, you had,
but
I
now,
forget
just,
who it was.
Now, just in this last week, right? So three people have
dropped
out this
already.
Week.
This week,
just this week,
just this week. So again,
it'll happen up to the
so somebody. But I mean, again, they're all legitimate, right? Yeah. So the one person has injuries, and although he wanted to bowl, but he
just
couldn't,
can't.
So
right.
we were able to find someone. And then two other people, a couple, one of them unfortunately had a medical issue, so they can't travel. So now we had to find replacement bowlers for them. Like I said in the last email, emergencies happen. There's nothing we can do about that. But, you know, when we're this close, I've tried the – when we were in Syracuse, I tried to use the subboard. And I had nose all the way up and down, and I said I will never do that again.
Yeah.
I had somebody commit to the tournament, and they didn't even show up. And that's you know,
that's bad.
And when you're so far away, what do you do?
Yeah.
Right. So, and I asked them. So the only thing that they would do is they would give you a zero for that bowler. And then, so that wipes out that entire team. That wipes out your
doubles.
Yeah.
Everything. Right.
You're bowling what for all events?
Right. Not even all events. That takes out your all events too.
I mean, you would be the single bowler bowling all the events. You'd bowl singles and team. Right. Oh, I guess you wouldn't even bowl doubles because you don't have a partner.
Yeah. So, you know, but you don't have to worry about that. I worry about that.
Yes, you do.
He sure does.
And that's why, you know, I...
He taps every resource.
How's your blood pressure?
Huh? Oh, my blood pressure's great.
Okay, good. Just make sure.
Question number 5.
Because I'd be bleeding out the ears.
I know you would be. What was your worst performance in a tournament?
Oh, gosh.
That had to be at... at the Las Vegas, and we were bowling at Gold Coast, and every time I hit the pocket, I left the 7-pin.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every time. 7-pin stayed up. I just couldn't get the 7-pin out. And I think, and to this day, when I bowl at Gold Coast, it's a 7-pin. It really is. I don't know if you ever bowled there, but
I bowled there.
But for me, you know, and you have to have the right
angle, speed.
Yeah, everything. Right. So it's always a 7-pin. That's my
nemesis. We bowled the 40 framer there one year.
Yeah.
It was at Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he has very bad performances at anything that he does, but,
well,
you know.
I don't know. We didn't do so well at Hugs once.
Well, we did it once. That's true. That was a...
But we had fun.
We did.
That's all that matters.
It's always having fun.
It's always matters.
To be honest, at the end of the day, it's really about that.
This is the next question I'm interested in getting your response on.
Okay. This is our, favorite one. Okay, if you could change one thing about bowling, what would it be?
One thing about bowling?
Yeah, anything about bowling. If you could change something that, you know, you don't like or that needs to be changed, whatever, what would it be?
Interesting. So, I think for me, because of the way that I grew up, I don't need to win. To me, it's about participation, and it's about a camaraderie. It's a social event, right? So outside of a professional bowler who's doing this for money, you know, I just think people need to calm down and just bowl.
I like that.
You know, that's, to me, you know, it's a league. I get it. You know, we're not always going to win. We're not always going to do the best. Right. But kind of what we were talking about earlier with, you know, smashing things, right? It's uncalled for. You don't really need it, right? It's we should all be there for fun. And I get it. You get frustrated. I have bowled 140s recently.
It happens.
Coming back to bowling, you know, and I just go, okay, let me have a drink and I'll keep moving, you know.
That's the next question.
Right. Right. As sometimes we kid each other, it's a team game, bitch.
It's a team game,
team game, bitch.
Right? So
I like that.
You just got to keep moving. You just got to keep going. You just got to get over yourself and keep bowling. Because you know what? It's gone.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, kind of like that. What's the movie, you know, where the Lion King, and, you know, the monkey comes and smacks him in the head and goes, it's in the past.
It's in the past. Right? Well, especially team bowling.
I mean,
bowling,
how many times can
you
rehash a whole game?
Right. Yeah. And in team bowling, if you're not bowling singles, in team bowling today, this game you might be the high and I might be the low.
Yeah.
The next game I might be the high and you might be the low. So really, that's what it's supposed to be about.
Exactly.
Carrying each other.
Absolutely.
You know.
Question number 7. What is your favorite alcoholic drink while bowling?
So it's evolved over the years.
Evolved!
I would say probably whiskey and 7-Up.
Nice.
That's pretty much what I'd say the last 7 or 8 years.
Absolutely.
That's kind of what I've gravitated to the most.
Very cool.
What's yours, Michelle?
If, again, the same as him. I like Jameson. Okay. And so...
I know we ask you this before.
Yeah. I mean, I drink that after bowling. That's usually what we're having.
I like it.
So it's you know, it's refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Drink Jameson. A little you know, if we're bowling bad though, if we are together and we're doing shots.
it's usually shots
or we are really drinking.
We're really drinking.
So if you do ever see us at this bowling something together and you see that there's drinks, that means it's
However,
we're pretty much
I've
done.
Never been so drunk that I've not been able to get on the lane and put the ball down.
Me too.
And still bowl
though?
And still bowl well.
Jason and I, one year at Showgirls, that was the same event. We were having a rough time in doubles. Mm-hmm. And so it was a $2 fireball shot?
Woo-wee!
So they started. Anna and Jim brought us the first shots. And the next thing you know, Jason and I are pulling up our shirts and belly bumping on the lanes.
I would have loved to have seen that.
So that is something that's very rare. Again, like the unicorn that you hardly ever see. But,
it goes back to that. It's in the past.
Yeah.
It's in the past. And you know what? We ended up having a blast.
Oh, yeah.
Our score did not show it.
Yes.
No.
Well,
but
good,
we had a
good or bad bowling. I would like to do a shot with you guys sometime.
Absolutely.
Sometime this upcoming weekend.
Oh, absolutely.
Wednesday. Oh no, Monday. But you're not
nationals.
I'm saying at nationals.
Oh, at nationals.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We'll find each other.
Oh yes.
Nationals is a great event. It's great.
I'm pretty sure we're all going to be at the same room at one time.
At some point.
Absolutely.
Oh wait a minute! No drinks allowed in there.
Geez.
Hopefully we all. We all just do our best and
Absolutely.
Have a good time, and that's it.
Yep.
You know?
It'll be
I
fun.
Agree.
It'll be fun.
Last question.
All right.
Oh, last question.
Okay. It's an A and B.
It's A and B.
Oh, two questions.
Yeah.
So, a super team for league championship. Okay. 5 members, including yourself. So
that's easy.
You and 4 members. Who would you have on your team?
Well, obviously Michelle and Jason And then I would probably grab Troy.
Troy Taylor.
No, that's not his name. It's Arthur.
Arthur Taylor, and then
I think our kids are having a sleepover next week. Actually,
is that right? Gosh, who would my fifth be? Who could the fifth be that I would, as a super team? I probably would go with my friend Devin.
Nice, Devin's a good bowler.
I would say Devin.
Yeah, Devin. That would just be a super fun team for us, and that's how I would build it. Is I would build it as it's a fun team. We don't go, there's a little bit of competition in there, but it's a fun team. And if we're not having fun, we don't need to ask the second team then. If we're not having fun, we're not competing. So
that's the second question. Fun team.
Oh, there you go.
Do you want my super fun team?
Super fun team.
Well, that's a different team.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I can I predict this team? Sure. I want to predict this team.
Okay.
So it's yourself, Michelle, Jason, Anna. Son of a bitch, I can't think of a fifth.
You can put a lot of people on.
Yeah,
you can put a lot of people on that team.
Because the Dirty Bookshop, you just named them. That's our Dirty Bookshop team.
I can't think of the fifth.
You can't?
No.
Well, so what kind of fun team are we looking at? Like a drinking
team?
Doesn't matter.
Just super fun team.
Super fun team. I would probably have Grady.
I would say Grady.
Oh, Grady.
Yeah, Grady. Or Devin again,
Devin.
Probably. But,
Devin's a lot of fun.
But I don't know. I mean, it's
Dana.
Dana for sure.
Oh, Dana.
Dana. That would be.
Dana needs new friends.
Dana's great. I like
Dana.
Dana
for sure.
Dana, yeah. I think Dana is, I bowled him on Wednesdays.
Is he going to be there this weekend?
Yeah.
Sweet. He'll be there.
Awesome.
Love Dana.
Yeah. Oh, and awesome. my friend Chris Marriott.
Chris Marriott would be a lot of fun.
Chris is fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Chris is fun.
Probably have interchangeable people.
Oh, dude, I like that.
Team, you know?
I like it. You people have been so nice with your time. Yep, thank you very much. I know you need to get going. Love you both.
Thank you.
See you this weekend at Nationals.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
We'll all meet again.
Good luck to everybody.
And I'll see you guys Monday.
Good luck, everybody.
You know what? I will see you on Monday as well. I'm subbing.
Hopefully not against us.
I don't know.
It depends on who you're bowling.
I'm subbing for Jim Kistner. I'm on Claggy's team and Brian Watkins.
Oh, you guys are bowling against them.
I thought we already bowled them.
I'm kidding.
I don't know.
I'm like, I think we already bowled them.
I don't know.
I know that we are in a dogfight for first place.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer that I'm going to miss 2 weeks of 1 week of position round, I think. So.
All right, kids. Like I said, love you both.
Thank you guys so much. No problem.
Thank you guys for having us.
Appreciate it.
So for Michelle Carter, Jim Costello, our punk Tom who bailed out. For Keith Hicks, I am your host, Steve Matthews. And always remember, guys, keep your balls out of the gutter. Take care.